This is session 219, recorded on December 10th, copyright 2009, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6:37 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening. Carolyn's going to lead off with some information, questions on CERN in Switzerland.
Good evening, Ion.
Hi.
Hi. We were looking at angels and demons, and then a special section, special add-on or whatever, they had 13 minutes talking about CERN and showing pictures and talking to people. So I just wanted to go through some of the points. I transcribed it a bit and wanted to go through some of the points and see what Ion has to say, if he agrees with what they're saying.
Okay.
So CERN builds particle accelerators where they are smashing together particles, and they part of this is dialogue from angels and demons as well, but to isolate the God particle. Is, and then, you know, I looked it up, and there is something called the H, capital H-I-S-S, God particle. So what are they talking about there, Ion?
Well, and they've got it off a bit. Here's what they're trying to do.
Bob, you're muted.
Oh, okay, just a second.
Bob? Isn't the God particle something called the Higgs boson?
Yes.
Okay, that's what your HSS might refer to, Carol.
Uh-huh.
The
okay.
Higgs boson.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Ion.
All right. They figured out that there were atoms, okay, some time ago. Then they figured out with their electron microscopes that they could go through this process and they could actually split the atom, divide it from itself.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did that, it made this huge explosion. Okay? Mm-hmm. That was the atom bomb.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was all about, was the kinetic energy that was released. If you could figure out how to get an atom and then split it,
mm-hmm.
And that released energy, and they had no idea that where this tiny little thing that you could put a million on the tip of a pencil could cause these, you know, gigaton explosions, that they, you couldn't even haul enough TNT to get that kind of an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
So they discovered that. Then they started dangling with the ion field, what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Hadron Collider, or the particle accelerator, what they say they're doing is they're taking atoms, okay, whole, that's with the nucleus, with the protons and the electrons about around it in an ionic field.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing, they say, is they're in this great big huge 17-mile circle in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
They are shooting these particles, accelerating them from with magnets, an electromagnetic pulsation to accelerate these particles at the speed or close to the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're doing is they're running of wavelengths or particle fields of wavelengths.
Mm-hmm.
That they can discern, obviously, with their computer technology. You know, it's not that big a deal. But they accelerate this going around this great big circle, and then they collide it with other particles at certain points. And then they have those collection points where these super magnets, I mean, these magnets are beyond anything you could even imagine. They have to have special cranes just to move them in place, and you know they are just amazing, absolutely amazing, strong magnetic fields. They have to be very particular with them because the magnetic field is so strong that it will affect sinus rhythm of the human heart. I mean, so that's pretty stout.
Right.
Okay. Well, in this particulate accelerator. We're saying particulate because that's the problem. It's not a particle accelerator because they can't get a particle to work right. But they can take a particulate and work with it because, see, you'd have the same equivalency of an H-bomb.
Now you've kind of made a conclusion there, and I don't know what you're doing it on.
It's not a particle they're working on.
It's
a particulate.
Are you saying that a particle then is the atom?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, they have to work on part of an atom. They can't work on an atom particle.
Exactly, because they'd have the outcome would be the splitting of an atom, which, of course, we understand.
Would be the H-bomb.
The equivalent of a hydrogen bomb, you see.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, once this collision takes place, it breaks down the field, the ion field.
Yeah.
That the nucleus is held in stasis, and they already have acknowledged that the electrons pop in and out, in and out, in and out, and they can hold the same exact space at the same exact time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the anomaly that you can't do, but they've proven that it can be, and those same electrons can poof, just disappear, gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then poof, there's two, and they're in the same space. They're confined within the same space.
Now, I'm afraid this doesn't make sense, though. When you say the collision takes place, it breaks down the ion field, and et cetera, but you've already said they're not using an atom. They're not using the nucleus.
Particulate.
So what do they actually start with?
A portion of a particle.
Okay.
That would be like they dusted the dust mote, and when they got the dust that they got off the dust mite, that's what they're using.
Okay. And they might not even know what they've got because it could be a nucleus or neutron, proton, or electron.
By God, if they don't figure it out, they will. It will be amazing. They better know what they're working with, or it will get nasty.
Okay.
All right. Now, and you do have some of the brighter bulbs in the chandelier working on this project. I mean, they didn't, you know, they didn't go to MSU to work on at CERN.
Got it.
All right. So they get these things going very, 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 very fast.
Mm.
Then they have other particulate, and they collide them.
Mm-hmm.
In the special places where they have the huge, huge, huge magnets.
Those
magnets then can actually stop particles as they are colliding. Basically, you have a huge, significant splash. Well, this collider is where it splashes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it like, because it is a lot of wave technology.
Mm.
Let's parallel it to a wave so you can understand it just real simple and easy.
Mm.
They get a lot of energy going and they make a big wave coming to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's a long process, 17 miles in a circle, and they really get it going, 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 going. Well, just like the energy it would take to make a huge wave come onto your beach.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it hits the beach, you know, right before the white crest cap hits it, and it's going to splash, and it would just crunch you to death, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these collection ports stop the wave.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That. Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
You could take a ladder and climb the top of the 50-foot wave and sit down on it. I mean, it's just like you took a picture of it and froze it in time.
Right.
That's what this actually does.
Right.
Then when that's frozen and it stops, all those particulates that would be within what you would call the built-up kinetic energy,
mm-hmm.
and we have to call it kinetic energy because they're causing it, but the causation doesn't make it so. It's the kinetic energy that's left when they stop it in a dead stop. That's the immortal song that they're trying to sing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the kinetic energy or the electrons that would be part of the particulate, not the whole atom, but the particulate.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is those that are captured in this magnetic field,
mm-hmm.
and that capture they are trying to calculate, but now we're talking about, it would be about the equivalent of dust on dust.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know what I mean? You couldn't, it would take them a million years to get a half a salt shaker full.
Yeah, and I'll get to that number that they said. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but that's okay. That's okay. Because they're acknowledging that it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
They really, you know, they don't have to figure it out. Science would have them all castrated anyway, so
mm-hmm.
they don't really want to figure it out. They,
mm-hmm.
they're just having fun playing with it. But
mm-hmm.
once that matter is collided, and then the wave is stopped instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
The overflow of that same energy likened to splitting of an atom with an enriched plutonium, same
mm-hmm.
aspect, that's a particulate too.
Mm-hmm.
That stoppage or the instantaneous freezing of it, making it, bam, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to capture all of the energy, which would then be dividing or colliding particulates. Even the particulate would be dispersed or dispelled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those electrons going wild,
mm-hmm.
and it's not necessarily electrons, but we're just trying to keep it simple so you don't get lost in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just use electrons because that's the easiest. And they're able to stop it. That encapsulation or encapsulation of the event, it's what they call it, an event,
mm-hmm.
once that is captured, that would be the equivalent of what you are trying to explain is as antimatter.
Uh-huh.
It would be the next phase of after you split the atom, now what are you going to do? Well, now we're going to see if we can capture the individual particulates of the electrons to focus it so instead of having to build a nuclear reactor, we have a nuclear collider.
Ah.
And that colliding allows the splitting of a split atom, that kinetic energy, like the force of a wave that was frozen. If you could capture that energy, you could run, gosh, most of America with one wave
mm-hmm.
in electric power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they're trying to prove antimatter, but that's not really what it's about. What it's really about is trying to figure out how to have energy or tiny slivers of atoms that would provide enough energy that it would last an eternity, but have no byproduct of nuclear reactive waste.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
And so what it sounds like is that they smash matter, and what's left over, what's created is energy, and they're calling that energy antimatter?
No. No, no, they're using, it does cause energy, okay, but that's not the problem. The energy of a tsunami is not the problem. The problem with a tsunami is it's very wet.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got a byproduct of the wetness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the problem. You can harness the wave, perfect, no problem. But you can't, see, that's the whole thing. That's what's wrong with the nuclear reactors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reaction. Okay? So this particular field actually is what they're trying to create or call it. Now, this is more Dan Brown than it is CERN.
Mm-hmm.
But the trist of it is that if they can indeed prove and create collectible antimatter, then the antimatter in and of itself would liken to an event horizon of a black hole, which suck everything into itself. Okay? Well, the energy that it would take to suck everything into itself would make more energy than you could consume.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to get sucked into yourself.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's why you're doing it on dust. Dusting dust.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, if that were the case, it would be relatively manageable. And then once they get good at it, what happens is that those particulates, they'll prove once and for all that they don't know the speed of light,
mm-hmm.
number one. Number two, they'll prove that the electromagnetic chasm that they've created is indeed strong enough to, well, we'll use a soft word, stop your accumulated time.
Wow.
Stop your accumulated time.
Mm-hmm.
And because once you shred particulate of an atom, it is not a timed event.
Mm-hmm.
And it can come back and repulse itself to a place before the acceleration took place.
Wow.
Just like we used the analogy of the wave, and you could get a picture of that, and you go, well, that's incredible. If you could do that, you could do it all. Correct? Well, this is what they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
That the force of the motion of the ocean, but then to be able to freeze that or seal it or stop it, that energy would still go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're trying to capture. And instead of then getting all that energy and then turning it loose, letting it wipe out the sea line or coastline,
mm-hmm.
they're trying to capture it and then just let it drop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning hold it in stasis until the kinetic energy dissipates so that the particle acceleration can dissipate naturally rather than having to deal with the kinetic energy of all that water crashing.
Okay.
Does that make it simpler, maybe, or harder?
Well, it's again, it's all about the energy. I still don't know where the antimatter
aspect is. What is named antimatter, and what he has described?
Yeah. What is antimatter?
In relation to what you just described.
Well, nothing.
Okay.
Because it's not matter.
They're calling it an antimatter collector. They mm-hmm. call it a particle collector.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a collider. And the whole process of what they were building was a way to capture those events.
So
what the events are.
Do they?
But at the end of the day, what they're trying to master is electricity or energy transferal that would be safe.
When it freezes, the frozen wave, then they want to siphon off the energy and that's how they can harness it?
Correct, because of the particulate that would be. If you had that really occur on your beach, the energy that would be released in the stopping of that wave instantaneous would be amazing. And as long as you didn't cause damage to your shoreline, that'd be the way to go. But you can't do that, you see. Once you got that energy, you had it, it pushed the it pushed the pedal on the pump, that wave hitting against it, then what happens is the rest of that water would come crashing like your nuclear reactor. So the aftermath of what's left over is very, very bad. Like, if you can wipe everybody off the beach, you don't need any electricity because they won't need anything. You won't need any. You know what I'm saying? It'll all be gone.
The users will be gone.
Correct, yes. The usefulness of the project would be gone.
So you're saying if they froze the wave, then all the other waves coming would smash up and explode it?
That if they froze the wave and collected the energy, they still got to do something with the wave. It's not going to stay frozen forever.
Mm.
Nor are these particles that they are colliding.
So they would release the wave, and what would it do?
Well, they're hoping to release it because of this magnetic field, particle field, be able to release the wave, and it just basically fall vertically straight down, just like poof, and it falls out.
Yeah, you said magnetic field. Is that the same as the ionic field?
No. Ionic field is what they're using to capture these rogue collided electrons.
Right. So the ionic, so you call your being called ion, it's like the field that holds the particles together. Does the non-physical hold the physical together?
Well, if you have a human physical body without non-physical, the coroner seems to put you in the ground.
All right. So you're saying ion does hold the physical body together?
Well,
because if you remove it, it rots.
Right.
Well, okay, so the ionic field is like the non-physical holding together the parts of the atom.
Yes, but we're not saying that it is ion that's keeping the world turning.
Hmm.
We're saying that it's the non-physical part of all human creators that we just so happen to include. It's the non-physical that's actually...
Yes, it's just that the word ion is symbolic of the non-physical.
Yes, indeed, but we wanted to clean it up so they can say, well, if ion's the Messiah, we're screwed. Okay, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So we don't want to demnify non-physical. It would be like, well, that's good enough. You got
that. Yeah. No, I'm just saying the word ion is appropriate. It's an up-to-date word. It's about a field that in matter holds things together, and an ion represents what is held to get what holds things together, the non-physical.
Correct.
No, it's not.
If it's a fire, everyone can have a fire burning, but it doesn't have to be ion's fire that's burning.
Right.
Now, if ion is a fire and it's burning and it's the same fire that's burning everywhere else, okay, great, but it's not about that, you see. Those individual fires are non-physical. Is the part that we are, okay? But it's not an ionic fire that all fires are ionic, but they are non-physical.
Okay, got it. So back to Carolyn. So,
okay, let me continue.
The antimatter concept, why is that even brought in?
Well, we'll go in. There are more questions about that, so let's just continue. So, they do it at minus 271 degrees, which is just about the coldest that's been measured, and 10 times less atmosphere than the moon. So that's just removing all parameters?
No, they have to have some controlling field. And see, liquid nitrogen is the only thing that they can use to sustain that type of well, it actually reduces the ionization process. It lowers the...
Uh-huh.
The nuclear weight. Remember, you have atomic number and atomic weight?
Uh-huh.
That colder temperature slows down the accelerants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're getting it to the speed of light and super duper duper cold. So, we would say the example here would be summoning the wave, building the wave, energy wave, speed of light, here it comes, smack, it's coming right at you. And then when the collider or the occurrence appears, then you basically freeze it with the liquid nitrogen, because the energy, the free radicals that are exposed at that temperature, your atomic number is variegated, meaning at that lower gravitational pull plus the huge magnetic radiance or degree of magnetic inference will allow you to capture these individual, what you call antimatter particles.
Okay.
But wait a minute.
Do they mention the word antimatter? Do they bring it up?
So much. Well,
not so much.
They're trying to, but that's not the goal. The goal is to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Prove what? That there's antimatter?
Well, what are they trying to prove, Carolyn?
I'll get to it, Bob. Don't jump too far ahead. So then they go into the Hadron Collider, and they call it a big time machine. They said that. They said because it brings us to a tenth of a billionth of a second after the Big Bang. So they're trying to prove the Big Bang.
Well, they're trying to prove that there's no time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a time machine that won't work, so therefore there'll be no time.
Yeah.
Because you just went from the Big Bang to now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instantaneously. Well, if you do that, guess what? There is no time.
So where does this come? Did he just say that there? Hyun just say there was the time machine has no time.
Yeah.
If they get their time machine to work,
What
it won't move you through time. It'll prove that there is no time.
Because of the instant after the Big Bang.
Correct.
The instant after the Big Bang has no time.
Right.
And they're going to try to capture that.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they think that has no time. Why would that have no time?
Because if they create another Big Bang, then they've recreated life, and then here we are, and it's timeless because it's been done twice, and how can you do something twice?
That sounded pretty silly. They didn't create life.
Well, they think
neither
they are.
Neither did the Big Bang.
That's what I mean. The Big Bang doesn't create life. So I was quibbling the way you said that, but weren't you being facetious in saying all that?
No. Ion, what do you think of what I said?
Well, that was perfect words.
Well, what was the meaning, Cal? What were you pointing out? Say it again, then, if it was perfect words.
That a Big Bang back then that collided something and started the process of creation.
That time?
Mm.
The process of creation?
No.
No.
That's not time?
It's not time. It's an event.
An event. If you do another event...
Man-made in the collider.
Man-made in the collider. Then you've recreated our origins, therefore collapsing the two. It's like two spheres.
Why would you
spheres.
Assume... Why would you jump... They just recreate it. Why would you come up with the idea that that collapses something? Why would you think of that?
Well, it doesn't. It's when you take two worlds and crash them together.
Oh, that's based on a TV show, Fringe.
No, but it's real.
Well, so, yes.
Okay. So Carol is saying that if we successfully did it, we then create two worlds and they're going to collide.
No.
No.
Well, what was your point? We created another world, is the same thing, and what happened?
You're not creating another world.
You use the word creation.
You're creating a Big Bang.
Yeah, you create a Big Bang, and then what?
And then if you've done it twice, it just... Well,
you brought the world back to its origination of the Big Bang.
Yeah, but what was Carolyn saying?
That's it.
You were
saying... Stop it, Bob.
No,
let's just get the answer from Ion.
We're trying to get your words.
It doesn't matter.
He said your words were perfect. So
yeah,
you brought...
What was that? I'm losing it. You brought yourself back to the original Big Bang,
yes.
Ion?
Here we go. Let's do it from baby world. Maybe that'll help, Bob. Okay, if you're born.
Yeah.
And that's a time. Correct, Bob?
Okay.
You don't remember it because you were very young.
Right. But did you say that was no time?
You're muted.
Baby's born, and that's no
and
time?
And that's the time. There was the time you were born, correct?
Right, yes, and I matched that up with Carolyn saying there's a creation.
No, just the facts, ma'am. Bob, you were born at a specific time, correct?
Right.
Yeah, 1 minute you were, and the next minute you... 1 minute you were not, and the next minute you were. Boom, there's Bob. Now, his time on Earth has begun.
Mm-hmm.
Based on time, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they build this machine, this Hadron Collider, and they can bring you, Bob, back to the point of your, Bob's, baby birth that you don't remember, because you were very young, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a big bang, and then, because when you hit the ground the first time, it was a big bang.
Yes.
But if they can build this machine that can recreate your birth, not duality, they're not creating duality because they don't accept that there are dualities to create. But if they recreate your birth...
That's two. That's duality.
No, it's not. It's the same birth.
Okay.
And if they do that, then guess what they have single-handedly done? Undone what you call time.
No, Carolyn, how have they undone time there?
Because you're back at your first minute, as you are. So you've collapsed your whole years on Earth.
Correct, correct.
So it's like I'm here and then they take me back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no. They bring your now, your mm-hmm. Big Bang, right now.
They bring you my big... Yeah, right now. They say, hey, look, we created you in your first second. Right?
Well, but
they show it to me. Oh, look, that's you.
They won't show it to you. You will be back a baby born.
Okay, so then... And that
the
will
one,
cancel...
Bob.
That will cancel the previous baby birth?
Yes, it will. No, it doesn't cancel it. It makes them simultaneously occur.
Okay, it's two occurring.
Yes, but if they it won't it, there won't be two of you. There'll only be you being born, and then you being born. And if they can sync up those events,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any difference how many dog years are between the events, like the first Big Bang. And this Big Bang that they're working on, won't matter how much experience of TikToks have come through it, there'll only be that Big Bang again. It'll be Big Banged.
I'll be back at the beginning.
Correct. Of what you think is the beginning.
Right.
But that's great. We're not pushing against it. Now, there are some empirical references that we could tear this up. And we will. Don't
yeah.
worry. It's
okay.
All right.
We're just establishing what
the big
think.
Picture. The big picture simply is, if they are successful, marvelous creators, push for it, make it so, make it number one, make it so. Because if you're able to do that, then you single-handedly have empirically referenced that time is an impossibility.
Well, something
doesn't work.
What?
It doesn't work.
Well, what they you just said they did it. And
no,
they,
time doesn't work.
Oh, okay. So the something about me being recreated, I would be back there at the beginning,
yeah.
And the first time it happened would be canceled or disappeared.
No,
or
it'd be the same.
Be the same moment. Put me back at the same moment. Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that prove?
That there's no time.
How does it? No, time starts over again.
No, it doesn't.
How come?
Because if you Big Bang and then you re-Big Bang, those Big Bangs are only one Big Bang.
Right, and you are starting again. Birth.
It's not starting again. You won't have the experience to start again. It'll just be the first beginning, the first time.
What's that mean, Carolyn? That means you just have 1 second, that's it? You'll be complete?
It won't be a second. It won't be a second. It'll be simultaneous.
So what's that mean, Carol?
I guess it collapsed time.
No, it undoes what you think time is, which is good.
Uh-huh.
We agree. We are tickled to death that that's the case.
Well, we're not getting how it undoes time. I mean, just because, okay, to recreate my birth.
Well, because time is a false premise, and so I don't know how you expect.
Oh, you mean the fact that it's a miracle that they were able to recreate me back at the Big Bang, my birth.
That's not a miracle. That's normal.
Well, we begin with the sort of miraculous. I mean, you're trying to say it's significant that if they recreate my birth, then we are stand amazed, which means that the point when I first was born is not a separate time zone, because we can go back and do it again. So its precious isolation in the first case does not stand?
Perfect.
Did you understand what I was saying, Carolyn?
Kind of.
Yes, it's not exact. Or Carolyn.
It's very close, though, because if you could stop it, if you create it, and if you can...
Yeah, you're saying if it shows up again... Then the whole time it took from my birth to now, and all of a sudden they're making me be born again, that canceled out. You've played with duration.
That there is no duration. Very good.
Okay.
Perfect. Then there is eternity. Okay. This would be the equivalent in the science world. For many, 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 many moons, they knew that the world was flat.
Hmm.
Damn it to hell, it's flat, and we'll prove it. People sail off, they never come back. See, they fell off the edge of the earth. Told you. Well, what kind of blithering idiot do you have to be to figure that one out? You keep going far enough, you're going to fall off the earth, and then what's that good going to do you? So, the world is flat. Then one day, someone got the illumination from the Illuminati that indeed that the world was round. Well, there was a little bit of disdain about that. But once they settled it, that the world indeed was round, it undid all of those years of flat worldness. Those are all but gone. And this is that breakthrough... that the human creators are on the cliffs of the abyss to finally prove that there is indeed no time. And it will indeed effectually change everything.
Okay, so you're implying they will do a successful experiment.
And prove once and for all, empirically, that there is indeed no time.
Okay. They will announce it, and people will go around living in their time-based reality and say, well, that's nice of them, but I've got to get to work. It's time to work or whatever.
No, they won't. Your Bible, this isn't new. Nostradamus, Edgar Casey, good glory, pick one. Every one of them, even Evergreens, made specific references. Most all of your larges, smalls, and mediums, and some of the extra larges, said it. Your doomsdayers, but it's not the doom part that's the day. When you come on, you come into the place, they give in reference scriptures, there will come a day when time on earth will be no more.
Okay, it's just that, look, took me a while to figure out, and maybe we have got it, why this proves there's no time. But it's just something done in CERN, and people will live within time, and that abstract realization over in Switzerland will not affect people. Other than what...
Well, is it abstract, or when it occurs, will it shift the physical?
No.
Yes, it will.
Okay. How could it shift if it's a bunch of scientists who look at their lab reports? Yep.
No, Bob, no, don't tangle it up. It's web enough. Don't tangle it up. Let's just take it from the reference point. If, here's the if clause. If technology got you into this anomaly, why would it not be okay for technology to tap the bell, to open the portal, to show you what's indeed on the other side of a black hole, that abyss that once you go through, it's a scary thing. It's flat. The earth is flat. It's not round. It's flat. And you go through the black hole. Well, you don't want to go through the black hole because you don't know where it goes and you don't know where you come out. Nobody's ever come back. They kept walking one day and then they kept falling off the earth and I never saw them again and they never came back. So it's, the world is flat. Once you open that black hole and you go through and figure out the details, it changes everything. The world is no longer flat. Time on earth will be no more. Now, does that mean you stop functioning? No. It just won't be time.
Okay, so they're going to...
Time will stop functioning.
When they do it, they'll have a press conference, and they'll be like...
There won't be a press conference. They'll be on the other side. They'll say, okay, here's... We've created antimatter. Now...
They'll be on this other side. You mean the black hole? You don't mean that.
Yeah, we're going to take a little license here. But you want to know...
No. Let's not take it... Just to deal with... Maybe there's more to say about that, but these guys are going to measure something, they're going to announce it, and they have a press conference, we've announced there's no time. And everybody, it's like a Kurt Vonnegut novel. Oh, they proved something about life today, that they found the secret life, and the people at the bar say, oh, that's nice, and then go on drinking. How does the statement affect you, other than it'll be put in the school books, and the kids will be taught there's no time as a new dogma?
No, Bob.
Okay, so...
Once they do this, once you go through the black hole and you see what's on the other side, you will have erased the entire concept that there ever was time.
They are going to go through a black hole?
With their instruments and their particles.
Their particles?
But that won't matter. Many have done that, but they won't matter because they won't remember.
Many
just like
have
you don't
done
remember
what?
Your birth. Gone through black holes, Bob.
Right.
What are we talking about?
Carolyn said... With their instruments. And you said many have done that. But see, that's matched up with the instrument statement. No, that's not what you're doing. You're shipping to another topic, another level, and saying many have gone through the black hole without instruments. Okay? Just showing you how you're connecting and causing a problem.
Well, the instruments aren't going to go through the black hole. The instruments are going to prove that the world is round and not flat. That's all the instruments are going to do.
They're going to prove that there is a black hole?
Well, they know that there's a black hole, but this will be the reference to verify for the first time what a black hole is and where a black hole goes and how you get to the black hole or what's on the other side. And what we're telling you is that once that occurrence takes place, time on Earth will be no more because they'll have figured it out. They will have figured it out. At that point, and all the time references, the false premise of time, will be instantaneously undone.
And you're still not getting it. You're not getting.
Well, that's because you know sometimes.
You're not getting my point that the average guy in the factory or whatever, listening to his rock music, his hip-hop, will not know there's no time.
Yes, they will.
How do we know? Tell us how you know.
Compared to landing on the moon, that's...
And in fact, anybody. Change a few images of what people thought, and then they made fun of it, and then people got bored with it. Don't want to go to the moon anymore.
No, Bob, see, this is the point that you're... Okay. All right, let's do it reverse. You've parallel world travel, but you don't remember.
Right.
So therefore, you can't believe, because you can't remember, that you've done it. Okay? Well, what if you couldn't remember ever one time ever that there was no time?
Yeah, Grant, okay.
Okay, so if you could come to that place and you say, you know, there's all these faces, it's got numbers on them, and things are swinging, and the sun's kind of on a rotation, seems like sort of a schedule, and I don't know what it's all about. It's the craziest thing. It looks like it's got hands and stuff. Carolyn, what is this thing? Well, I don't know, Bob. I've never seen it before. What do you mean you've never seen it before? Carolyn, we've got these things in our house on our these little numbers. Is this a count up or a count down, or are we scheduled something for something? What is this? No, Bob, those are just numbers at the angles. Well, you could almost act like there are things that you've experienced that you can't remember. they will become a place you could instantaneously bring yourself to a place where it sounds as silly to talk about time as it is for you to believe that you can parallel world travels and that there are parallel universes that you could engage. And so Bob at the bar drinking, listening to his rock and roll music, enjoying his world, they'd come on the thing and say, "We found archives, something about this thing called time, and that you don't have to engage it, but you can engage it if you want to. And we think it's a false premise, but there's pretty good evidence that there one time on Earth there was time. One time on Earth there was time." And everybody'd just laugh, and they'd listen to the rock and roll music, and they'd drink, and they'd say, "Oh my God, that Lou Dobbs, he'll just come up with anything. That's just the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. What in the world were you thinking or drinking when you come up with this conceptual idea that there's this thing called time so profound that they can't even keep up with it?"
Okay, can we stop that? It wasn't communicating. You brought up something about the spinning clocks and all that, which is our experience of parallel world. That's nothing to do with the sun.
No. What if you came up tomorrow and asked Carolyn, "What is this thing on the wall? It's a face with 12 numbers on it."
What if
and
you forgot? Remember it, there you was were no five. Time.
Okay, so what about my forgetting? What's it got to do with the scientists in CERN proving something?
When they recreate the Big Bang, it will undo the false premise of time.
Yeah, and you have not shown how that's going to happen. They're going to do something.
They haven't either.
They haven't what either?
Figured it out how to do it either.
Yeah, but okay, you say they might be? They might get it done? If they're not going to get it done at all, let's just drop the topic. But if they're close to getting it done, they're going to, then let's deal with it. Are you saying they will do this funny little experiment?
Every time we say, yes, they're going to do it, then the human creator gets a hold of it and runs it to shit. Every time. So the human creates up to the human creator.
Oh, okay. So we don't know if they're going to do it or not. Okay, so let's go back to what we'll try to figure out if Carol knows what we're talking about. What are they doing, Carolyn?
They who?
CERN.
They're trying to recreate the Big Bang.
And what is a black hole got something to do with that?
Yes.
What is a black hole in relation to that part?
When energy is released through a black hole, it's called a Big Bang.
Oh, okay.
The other end of the black hole.
So they say
all that wave. Remember the wave we talked about?
No, hold on. So you're saying the Big Bang? A black hole is discussed a lot the last 50 or more years because that's the image they have of a beginning place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's their beginning place.
It's not accurate, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, why call it the black hole?
Well, because that's because they don't know what it is, they don't know where it goes, and if you fall in it, they never hear from you again. It's over.
But they speculated on that. I don't know where they got how would they know?
Well, because they sat there and watched galaxies disappear, stars disappear.
Oh, okay, they watched.
The solar system disappears, it went into a black hole, it's gone into the nebulae of nothingness.
When did they first see that through their telescopes? Like in the 30s or something?
No. Hubble was the reference.
Oh, okay. That's why Hubble's name is big. He's the guy who first with his telescope saw a star disappear.
Not a star, a solar system.
A solar system. And it's disappeared into the sun?
No, it disappeared into the black hole, into nothingness. It was there.
Yeah, but the solar system goes around the sun, right? So somehow the solar system disappeared. And with the sun. Okay, the sun blew up.
It would be like losing a Milky Way.
All right, so he was unique in noticing that.
That's correct.
Okay.
Documenting it.
Right, and do we know what decade he did that in?
Well, it was in the 20s.
Okay, so we've been dealing with the black hole phenomenon since then.
And now they do sonar blast to pick up the pings for distant stars. And now they've come along, they've been able to do it long enough that they'll have pings that don't come back. That they dissipate, they're gone. They don't ping back any longer. And they schedule these charts and work out all these details and all this business. And they're noticing, and they can now look and see the whole process that a black hole is this nebulous place where things go in. Things go in, but they don't come out.
Including pings.
Including sonar pings. Because you got to see, your light year problem, because there's time involved in a light year, that's a problem because, you can only go within the confines of false premise.
Okay, let's look at that. So they're going to make a little sun in their collider?
It ain't going to be a little sun. It'll be the Big Bang, the beginning of a solar system.
They're going to make a little Big Bang, which comes out of a black hole. So they're going to make a black hole.
That's what they're trying to work out.
Trying to work out the making of a black hole. Is the concept of antimatter got anything to do with black holes?
Yes.
In their terms, in scientific terms.
In real terms.
No, I just want to know what their concepts are, because, you know, they're all crazy. Well, let's just find out what they think what they say they mean when they say antimatter. What do they mean in relation to black holes?
Absence of matter.
Oh, so they say the thing that the sun goes into and disappears into, that they're calling antimatter.
Yes, because otherwise...
So antimatter...
Where are you going to hide a sun?
Right, no. So the concept of antimatter came in with Hubble's experiment. He said, hey, look, they disappear into something, and they go, oh, I guess it goes into antimatter, right?
It has to, because you can't find it anywhere.
All right, so that's antimatter. That's what they mean when they say antimatter, Carol.
Uh-huh.
So in the Dan Brown movie, they made antimatter, which was weird. I don't know how they do that conceptually. But
did you watch the movie?
Beg your pardon?
Did you not watch the movie? They showed you how they do it.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it. They just showed... bunch of nothing, and
they had a little bottle.
Yeah, but Karen, you got to know the basics to figure out what you're working with.
I know, but Cern says they have discovered it and captured antimatter.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Oh,
they have.
How'd they do that?
Let me continue.
Okay, so the black hole and the antimatter. We got in other words, the experiment is not an attempt to make antimatter.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, so we're...
You got to prove there's antimatter before you can prove there's a real black hole.
Okay, so the antimatter is the makeup, the constituents of a black hole.
Yeah, because they said the world was round for a long time before anybody believed it.
Who said the world was round?
Galileo.
Oh, okay, right, I got you. And then they've been talking about antimatter for 60 years before anybody believed it.
That there was such a thing.
As antimatter, right. So the... This weird world where this stuff happens, how come that's even exists? Because we all create our own universe. So why is there even, what is this general agreed consensus reality that there's a black hole?
Because you can't explain why the world is, you can't prove that the world is flat. So science job has to disprove that the world is flat to prove that the world is round. Well, you've got to do the same. You don't have to do this, Bob. You could just take it at face value from non-physical. But oh, hell no, we're not going to have that.
Take what at face value?
That there is antimatter.
Oh, okay. Ion does say there is antimatter.
Absolutely. We did that in, I think, about the next session you're getting into.
Right. And what you image and mean and refer to as antimatter, is that what scientists mean as antimatter?
They're getting closer than they have.
In other words, antimatter is the grand central station, right?
Yes, that's the point of your... Remember your two-wire whisk?
Yeah.
That's going to bring back some memory points
for you. We start off just at the point where we're calling two light bulbs touching each other.
Yes, good. Well, that point between those two, that would be, remember, that's antimatter.
Right. Now, that point you are calling antimatter... They don't know that image, but
They're just getting there.
Yeah, and they're thinking it's a black hole, but you're saying Grand Central Station is a black hole?
Okay, no.
The point at the intersection.
Is a black hole, Ion?
It's not a black hole, that's just what they're calling it.
Right, but is it a Big Bang kind of phenomenon at the Grand Central Station? Okay, so it's like when you're there at the Grand Central Station and you make a decision to pick which train, when you get on that train, you're bursting out of the antimatter creating a sun and a solar system, correct?
All the other train rides are gone. The only train ride that is the one you're getting on now.
And that is the creation of, focusing on that one train ride, is a metaphor going in neither direction, metaphor either way of what the scientists mean, a new solar system is created.
Correct.
Okay.
A new world. A new world.
Right.
And that's what they were talking about in your Bible when they state plain, time on Earth will be no more. Time on Earth will be no more. Doesn't say there's not going to be a world. It says there's not going to be any more time.
Are those prophets predicting the Hadron Collider?
Yes.
They knew that was coming.
Quatrain 67 of Nostradamus says the same thing.
All right, so that's...
Edgar Cayce, reading number 9201, says the same thing. Third paragraph.
Okay, so...
Second sentence.
Okay, so...
Look it up.
Yeah, So the fact that there's going to be an end of time was placed back in the past to create this situation with the Hadron Collider.
Okay.
No, that's what... all events are caused by something in the future placing it back in the past.
But see, you're gauging your premise on time, and there's...
Well, when I'm quoting you, this whole talk about the future... planning something back in the...
We had to put it in verbiage that you didn't grade or you'd have hung up already, Bob.
Oh, we're eventually going to drop that verbiage?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm mastering the verbiage in session 33. As I'm listening to it, I'm understanding that you cannot have a present without implicating the future and the past, and the future goes back to the past goes... communicates...
They are one.
Yeah, communicates to the future. That so this is why within that realm of thinking, which will be later destroyed, but within that realm of thinking, that's why it's in Cayce and it has to be in the past before we can
Correct.
Have it here.
It's why we no longer speak about you have to crank the Victrola. You no longer have to crank the Victrola to make the vinyl play. Oh, wait, they don't have vinyl anymore. Okay, you used to speak about cranking the Victrola.
Now you don't.
Winding down.
Now you don't.
We don't talk about that anymore because that's silly, because that's non-existent.
Well, it's interesting.
Anymore.
Yeah, it's just interesting. The Bible, you know, the whole Dan Brown thing is about an argument between science and religion. And
right.
Here it is, scientific experiments are being sort of predicted in the Bible.
But the Bible has very little to do with religion.
Okay, the Pope doesn't know that. Okay.
Well... Piss on the Pope.
All right, so back to you.
Golden showers for everybody.
Right. So now that's pissing, you know. Carol, you get it? Pissing, gold showers.
I understand. Okay. I'm a doctor. I'm a medical professional.
Oh, and you're also a pervert, because only perverts know that, Carol.
No.
Well, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. So, Carol, we're at the point where we establish what antimatter and black hole and... what were we discussing in the last point? You were there about something. What was your issue?
Never mind. We're going on. Okay, with all our understanding of the universe, they're saying on the CERN transcript, we only understand 4% of what is out there. The other 96% is called dark matter, matter that doesn't emit light. Is that true?
The numbers are a little bit askew. But yes, on a percentage scale, that's relatively close,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Because there's also answers to questions that have been answered that the questions haven't even been asked yet. So it's more like about a half of a percent, and that would be understood,
mm-hmm.
and 99. And a half percent would be what you call in your basal litmus understanding of the empirical reference would be dark matter.
Now, is dark matter antimatter? It sounds like it's different.
No. That's a twist. And that's also going to be a deal breaker as they're sort of sieving through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? See, dark matter means it's a place where light's never been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, antimatter is a contrast of matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so dark matter is the black hole stuff.
No, where light has never been.
No. Antimatter.
No. Black holes supposedly absorb light. And just envelop it.
That's antimatter swallowing light.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Right, but dark matter is...
Of the event horizon. But what they're making reference to of dark matter...
Oh, the event horizon means that you have swallowed light? Is that what an event horizon is?
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be the... We did that huge thing with the horizon. The event horizon is a black hole. But that's not dark matter. See, dark matter is a nebulous experience that has never known light.
Now, why would they think there's an area that doesn't know light?
Because they found places that have never had light.
How could you see them or know they are? What's the evidence they use?
There's no visible light.
Well, they took a picture of something?
Yeah, they would take huge pictures, crunch them all down, and take the percentage of the light in that huge picture against the percentage of no light.
Simple. So they take a picture of the black sky and you have one star, okay?
Right.
And then they, oh, look at this, one little pinpoint and all the other black part of the sky is
dark matter.
That sounds silly.
That's science. That's just simple
comedy. They're saying that the blackness out there is, no light has reached there.
Right.
Even though they say sunlight travels through space and comes to Earth. It doesn't travel. I'm thinking of light traveling through things, right? It travels through space to get to Earth, the sunlight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But there's some places where the sun does not get to?
Of course, it doesn't get outside of the solar system.
Okay, so...
There's lots of places of the Milky Way that the sun doesn't give any credence to at all.
But other suns get there, but they can take a big enough picture of the universe to say, hey, look at all these, this is so big, light doesn't get there. And they say light doesn't get there because it's dark. Right, Carol? Because it's dark. It's because it's dark, they're concluding that light doesn't get there. Which is
that's an easy way to explain it. It's not exactly there, but it'll be the hole of the donut that they end up paying attention to.
Right, so we just heard their explanation of dark matter. What is Ion's explanation of dark matter?
The largeness that is all of creation. Mm-hmm. They also you might call what you've never. That's some of it. You like that?
Yeah, very nice. That was like the beaming they do up into the atmosphere to check if you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. What were you saying, Ian?
Now, there are places beyond you. You accept that there are places beyond you.
Well, that would be parallel worlds.
Doesn't have to be. It could be, but not. But we would say no because you've engaged those. You just don't remember.
Right. I don't see how anything could be beyond me. Because aren't I everywhere?
Well, obviously not.
Why not?
Well, because you won't engage the conceptual view that even have a basal understanding that there are places that light has never been.
Okay, so it's not, I have not been everywhere, and I don't mean the limitation to the parallel world.
Right.
We know I'm there, but I don't remember. But there are other places I don't remember being, and I'm
there. That might as well be dark matter to you.
Right, but you're saying there are places that I haven't been, and I haven't, and
that
I don't know
I've never had light. That have never had light.
Okay.
Ever. Okay, not one time. That would be an empirical reference for what you're trying to prove. You haven't yet, but you're trying to prove as an arena or area of dark matter. It gives you the vastness of all. The vastness of all. Because you look at the world, well, it's just the world, well, it's just this county, well, it's just this city, well, it's just this island, well, it's just this house. Well, this is my world, and there's no other world outside of this, and there's nothing else. Well, that's just not true. There are places even on your planet you haven't been that are. Correct?
Yes.
So, for that to be the case, and the only way to prove that is to go to every single place that is and remember it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on then. Then they're saying that at CERN, we don't understand the origin of mass. They don't even know that. I mean, it's very interesting.
Correct.
Because it's like
without any matter, without antimatter, you can't validate matter.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
It is. It would be like, it would be convincing your lying eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you convince your lying eyes? Well, you just have to get over it or do it or eat it or taste it or lick it or sleep with it or something.
Get over it or get on it.
pretty much. Do you remember when we play with everything a rabbit can do to a stump and we do all the prepositions?
Mm-hmm.
You know, aboard, about, above, across, after, against, along, amid, among, all the prepositions. It's like that. It has to be an object of a preposition or you won't have it.
Right. Okay, then they make mention of the God particle again.
It has to be an object of a preposition so that there has to be antimatter as the preposition for the object or the object of the preposition, correct?
Well, the preposition is the object holder in a clausal phrase.
Yeah.
And if you just say, where are you at? Well, you can't do that because there is no object of the preposition at.
Mm.
So that's incorrect. But if you have at the park, then park is the object of the preposition at. And the is an adjective describing which park you're speaking of.
Yeah, so Carolyn, when McClellan says objects are unobservable, only relationships between objects are observable, you can claim there's matter, but it's not definite until you have antimatter so that you have a relationship.
Yeah.
Can't prove it, because otherwise you're going to dangle the participle every time, because you'll have swinging prepositions without any objects.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it'll be grammatically, as you say, grammatically incorrect. And then you'll say, well, the computer says no. So that'll be your answer.
Yeah, what is a dangling participle again? Can you give me an example?
Carolyn, give him the reference.
No, I'm going on.
Now just give me a word. What
antimatter
is what's a dangling participle? I mean, you made a key statement there.
Go to Google.
It's when you end a sentence with a participle and you dangle it, you don't give the... You don't make the participle become part of the subject phrase.
Right. Can you give an example? What's a participle? I went to the... Is that what you mean? I went to the... And you don't say where you went?
Well, no.
Stay where you're at and I'll come where you're to.
That's right. Stay where you're at and I'll come where you're to.
Or ending it with the will.
A dangling participle is a dangling preposition. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's just participle means preposition. All right.
Yeah. Okay, then antimatter is what gives all matter mass, without which nothing exists. So they say that. And then they say the origin of antimatter is the interest of CERN. So that's their major interest.
Yes. The origin of antimatter.
And
they got to prove the world is round before you'll believe the world is not flat.
Right. And then they go into matter is, you know, the... nucleus, neutron, proton, electron, and they talk about things always being in pairs, and the electron has its antimatter twin, a positron, so they've got, you know, and they've found positrons, so that's not even theoretical anymore.
They said that in that show, that there's always pairs?
Yeah.
I never heard that sentence.
Well, that's because you don't listen.
Well, I did listen, but just go back about listening. Did they say they want to find the origin not of matter, but of antimatter?
Yeah.
They have to.
That's what their interest...
To prove that there's matter.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then they go
Because now look what this does now. Look what that sentence right there, look what that does. Do you remember Chemistry 101, where everything has a molecular weight?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then an atomic number?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, guess what? All that's based on hooey. They can't prove that there's mass.
Yeah.
So all those equations are off. All their science is off. All their compounding is off. It's peeing in the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's interesting is why people accept it as not peeing in the wind.
Well,
they found the time.
It's almost like everything else that when you look into it, like the RDA of supplements, you know, what you have to take, it's not proved based on anything. It's just somebody's best guess. Bad guess.
And what does the word Google mean? Well, why do they accept that? Well, Google's a company. No, that's what you do on the car. cartoons with your eyes when you Google your eyes. Mm. Well,
oh,
no.
Yeah.
See, so there you go. Same
okay.
thing, Bob.
Yeah, that's Andrew. I mean, hypnotizing
no,
us with the word Googling.
Come
word
on,
Googling.
I'm continuing on. Time, time, this timed event is running down. Then they made a neat analogy where if you dig a hole in the sand and then you put the pile of sand to one side, they say antimatter and matter's like that. You can't create the empty hole without making a pile. And then they started talking about mirrors. And they said, antimatter is a mirror image of matter. And
no, it's not. No, it's not.
Yes.
No.
It's not, but what do they mean by it? You know, we know.
Well, they don't know what they're talking about, but let me just finish where they gave another reference to mirror, where they said, we study antimatter because we wonder if antimatter is just exactly the same as matter. Is it the perfect mirror image, or if you look at the mirror very precisely, is it like a little scratch in the mirror?
A little different.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's the way Walter described the two worlds in the recent show in Fringe. He said, there's a world like ours, but slightly different.
Uh-huh. So, Ion, would you like to tackle the mirror image?
Yes.
And before you do, we never really got it clear about the mirror. It's scattered throughout our sessions. I haven't gotten to much, but it's dropped up. But I never really got it clear. We kept putting it off.
Well, let's try.
But Ion, you must explain what 44. They're trying to do first. Then give your
44.
In 44, there's something. Okay, that'll be 11 from now. But I'm saying, tell us what they think they're doing, and then you tell us what you think is
they're
real.
They're just trying to figure out a way to validate, to slip into the world. They know that there are parallel universes. They know that there are things out there beyond their conservative conception.
How do they know there's parallel universes?
Well, how do they know to look for antimatter?
No, because Hubble took a picture and the black hole collapsed.
Well, how did Hubble know to build a big tube to shoot pictures?
Because it's something he heard of before him.
Oh,
who knows? It? You know, Ernst Mach, somebody said something.
Physicists, a lot of them are wondering about parallel worlds, so let's just move on.
Yeah, so I'm wondering in their terms what they mean, because they certainly don't mean what we do, but Hugh Edwards does, the guy who formed the idea that's mentioned in Flash Forward. They mentioned the guy, Hugh Evers or whatever, who discovered the idea of many worlds. Ion said he parallel world traveled. He was a Riff Rider. But not many of those people we saw on the TV last night were Riff Riders, I would assume. Maybe they are. That's what's interesting. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you,
The ones that parallel travel, the ones that parallel world travel, they're not giving them a hand at CERN. Once you get it, Bob, you don't have that discussion any longer. You just go on from there. Once you get it, you don't wonder about why don't they crank the big troller anymore.
Right. No, I understand that.
If you take the 418 crew and you take some of the other, what you call ascended idealists, we'll do it idealist. We'll give it a little room to wiggle there a bit. Let's say you have those places.
No,
they're not out there trying to explain to you.
Well, you started off. This was a very interesting opening. If you take the 418 group and the ascended ideals, now what about those two groups?
They don't care to explain.
They're not trying to edumacate you in your notion of why they're trying to complete it, sir, and what they're working on.
So are you saying some of the 418 group? Wait a minute. You're saying some of the 418 group are Riff Riders?
Well, of course, Bob.
Okay, that comes out of the German Nazi stuff in the 20s and 30s. And Wernher von Braun, he couldn't do it, but somebody can riff right. That gets into what Fringe is about, that there's a war going. Why is 418 Group knocking out the Twin Towers? You know, I mean, that's really weird. But it does overlap with the Fringe scenario. There's these groups from different worlds conflicting.
Correct.
You would agree with that?
Yes.
That's what's happening. Okay, so the 418, if you take them or some of these sentiments.
What does that mean? Then let's finish the sentence before we lose it. Okay? The sentence was, they're the ones that are able to do it. Okay? They don't find it their job, responsibility, or conscious-driven, for a purpose-driven life, to move the world to the next tier the next level. They hold it to themselves and use it to their very best advantage. And anybody that gets it, and those that don't, God bless you.
Right, but they knocked out the World Trade Center in their daily activities.
Well, most of it's going to fall anyway, Bob. It's just a matter of your time.
Most of it's going to fall anyways. Well, they certainly weren't concerned about the people who killed, because those people were there on purpose because they wanted.
Well,
to
those people weren't going to commit suicide whether the building fell on them or not.
Okay, but the taking out of the World Trade Center, was there a bit of an aggressiveness to it, a bit of a signal to somebody that, hey, look what you did, and we're taking it back? Was there something like that going on? Because we implied that's what's going to, quote, a war? Is there a war going on? That St. Germain and China knocking out the World Trade Center for
No, if they were going to really make a splash, it wouldn't have been limited to Battery Park. They'd have taken out all of Manhattan.
Right, so they made a little sign. But
then you'd be having a way different conversation.
Yeah, but they made a sign. They knocked it out, and it was motivated to communicate something. And we haven't figured out whether St. Germain, suggestions of St. Germain, might be some of the Chinese non-government people. 418 Group was involved. Why did they do? Oh yeah, get rid of the bond trading, right? Get rid of the paper evidence. That was the reason, correct?
Right, yeah.
And that's all the reason it was. Nothing to do with parallel world collapse.
That was plenty enough. It's all they had.
Oh, okay. Right. Plenty forgot
enough.
About that. Okay. So.
Go ahead, Carol.
Okay. So then we were talking about mirroring. You wanted to tell us.
We forgot.
I know.
But the mirror, the reason the mirror aspect is deficient, okay, is because a mirror only refracts. It doesn't reflect. Remember, because it's the opposite version.
Mm-hmm.
It's the left is right and right is left. It's not that way. Something that's parallel is not opposing.
Mm-hmm.
Refraction is opposing.
Correct.
Right, and refraction
and
is a kind of screwed
so
up.
So much so that you know, it's if you hold up a word on a piece of paper in a mirror, it's reversed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but some people read that way. Wait, they're just weird. Or if you refract it and then reflect it and reflect it and reflect it, then it's back to up, right side up.
Right. So then
that's the problem with it. It's not upside down. But now, if you remember when we were giving symbols and trying to push you off the edge of the cliff,
yeah,
we started to say always begin at 6 o'clock, because if you're upside down, you'll land on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We did that on purpose because the empirical reference for when people find that particular words in a later experience, we were careful to explain how if you see it that way, then it's best to start at 6 o'clock, so when you get to 12, you'll land on your feet.
Yeah, so that's like going through the mirror. You're going to be
correct.
The opposite
well,
on the other
Lewis
side.
Carroll, that's what Lewis Carroll experienced.
So that's the first time we've got that idea clear, right, Carol?
Yeah,
that's
there
the reason.
No, we did it with Michael Jackson and the Man.
Oh, yeah, you said it, but Carol and I are just getting it. We're just now, I can tell Carol's nodding, we're just getting that
yes.
The mirror is a metaphor.
Now, let's do it.
No, the mirror
one.
Is, when you go look at that clock and it's upside down, you're going through a mirror. It's going to be
exactly.
An upside down world.
Now, let's do a different dimension. Now, you've got a mirror reference, but now back in the day, when silver, you know, silver, like
yeah.
Silver urns and vases and candelabras and silverware or silver.
Yeah.
But if we don't have Bob here, it's not going to work. Bob,
well,
you know.
Silver, I mean, vases are ceramics, but I guess some are made from silver.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Okay.
Yeah.
If you have silver and it's not patinaed or tarnished.
Yeah.
If you polish silver and it's large enough piece, it has a very, very, very shiny shimmer to it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look closely at a piece of silver, when you see yourself in a piece of silver, if you look at yourself, no matter highly polished or sheened it is, when you look at it through the metal of silver, it will not be a crisp image of you.
And the point is?
That just because an object reflects shiny light does not necessarily mean that a portal or refractable imagery is available.
Okay, so we're looking at silver. It's a blurred image.
Yes.
And then you're talking about something else now.
There are portals that are done with metals, but we would suggest you leave them alone because you're never going to get a clear pictorial. You have more worlds than you know, and those worlds can sometimes won't be parallel. It will be actually very unequaled.
Right. Meaning
you could have a world where Nagasaki didn't get blown up and Hiroshima didn't get blown up. Well, that's not very parallel, because if you have that there, then you got to have that over here.
No, wait a minute. I always thought that was parallel worlds, like in
Fringe. Well, that's why we're bringing up the silver.
Yeah, we have the assumption in Fringe it shows the world where the World Trade Center didn't go blow up. That is the definition, as we understood up this point, of parallel worlds. They're a bit different from ours.
Well, but they can be very different.
Oh, okay, right, very different. It's almost like, you know, in the second plane in Lost, they come back and they end up in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And some end up in 2007.
So they're not so much parallel worlds as unequaled worlds.
Let's just call them multi-worlds.
Multi-worlds, right, as opposed to parallel worlds.
Well, we had to start somewhere, so
yeah.
If you remember the ninth gate and then the difference of those splits of the splits of the splits.
Well, the fifth gate from the ninth gate, is that what you mean?
Well,
fifth
yes, different.
When you say split, I don't know what that word refers to, but you did talk about how the fifth gate is different from the ninth gate.
Right.
And you might be calling those different splits.
And split, meaning each world has a parallel.
Oh.
But just because, and if you start paralleling every world,
then
there's so many vacillations or variations that you have more worlds than you can count.
Right.
But that's not too hard to understand, because we said every human creator is the center of their own universe. So there would be at least that many worlds if there are people on the planet.
Mm.
At least that many.
Wow.
Not even dealing with the parallela. Say it.
Parallelity.
Hey, Carol, why would there be a world for every human?
Because every human is the center of their own universe.
I have my world.
And so and those are real and big and huge. And there's 6 billion of those, at least.
And plus, there's duality.
Of each one of those. Of each one of those.
Of each one of those.
Yeah.
So now we're at 12 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, any variegation or variation, we're using that word variegation, means the same repeats, the same color change, the variegated flows over and over and repeats itself. And then variation means that you can have a twine, a string that would just kind of change colors over as it spreads.
Right. Variegated means something repeats itself.
The shading of the pattern repeats itself.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, the shading, it's like exactly the same?
Yes, over and over and over, variegated. But then you can have a string that has every color in the rainbow but doesn't repeat equally.
Yeah, that's variations.
Variation. Very good. Now, of each of those, we've got 12 million of those worlds.
12 billion. Right? 12 billion.
Okay, 12 billion of those worlds. All right, and then you'd have variations within those individual universes. So now you see your numbers, when you start squaring and cubing and to the 10th power, and to the millionth power, and to the 100 millionth power, all of a sudden the numbers just get crazy.
Right, that's why you said the guff has zillions of entities.
There you go, and that's not even correct, but that's enough.
Yeah.
If you started counting today, you wouldn't have enough time to count that high. So
yeah, because the guff has every soul, has every individual, every center of a universe is there. Those that are in the guff, each one is a world, and each one is accounted for, right?
Everything is always accounted for.
Yeah, okay. So maybe you want to... I don't know why we're doing this, Carol, but you go back to what you were...
Yeah, we were talking about mirrors, but
oh,
I think
mirror.
We can go on now.
But Ion didn't explain... Okay, Ian, what did you want to say about the mirror? You just started about the refracting, and then you said the metal portal. Is that like a metal, like a door? And it looks pretty solid, but you can go through it?
Yes.
Okay, that's a metal portal. Now, you were describing the different portals. Was there more to say about the mirror thing?
Just that just because it's shiny doesn't mean it's something you'd want to engage.
Yeah, but that's the ceramic metal portals. What about the mirror? Let's stay on the mirror topic. What the heck are mirrors?
Mirrors are refracted light from the cones and rods in your eye.
Okay, so is that got anything to do with what the
Well,
Stern
the Stern people were saying or asking the question, is a mirror, is matter and antimatter like a mirror?
Yeah, and they were saying the mirror.
No, is antimatter
a mirror of matter? And what's interesting is they almost thought that a mirror would be exactly the same, but they acknowledged, no, there's slightly something different in a mirror, and they called that a scratch. So they mean by the word mirror something slightly different.
That would be variation. Good.
Yeah, variegated is exact repeat. Yeah, variation. Right. Okay.
Good.
Okay, so is that enough about mirrors?
It was a crapshoot for us too, Bob.
Good.
You did good.
All right.
So then we go on to them saying a transformation of energy into mass, we think, happened during the Big Bang. So you should have, they say, 50% matter and 50% antimatter.
Nope.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. They cancel each other out.
Yeah. And
well, they don't agree. They don't agree with that.
Well, they're just wrong.
I know, but they, for some reason, they think you got 50-50, right, Carol?
Yeah, but they go on. There's more.
Okay.
We'll do one sentence to make it easy. And so this isn't to distract you, Bob. This is just for the record. You'll get it later. The same thing is true. If you put an atom together, does it require the same amount of energy that you get when you split an atom to put it back together? And the answer is no. Well, then it would take that violent release of energy when you split an atom. The only way for that statement to be true is if it took that much energy to combine two molecules.
Now, he said if only that statement were true. What statement was he referring to when he said
50-50.
Yeah, and then what did he say? God, now I know what he's referring to.
If you split an atom, you get a great release of energy. If it was 50-50, it would take that much energy to have to bring a cell or an atom back together, unsplit an atom. It would take that much energy to put it back together if it indeed were 50-50. And obviously it is not.
Okay, have we got empirical proof that it is not 50-50 to bring it back together? Same amount?
Yeah. Chlorophyll, MSM, sulfur, water molecules, that's good.
What do they mean to you, Carol? What did you just say?
Those things,
you can blend those together and they
create new substances.
All right.
No substances are put together and bound. It takes almost no energy at all.
Oh, rather than the same energy.
Rather than the energy it would take if you tried to split those atoms.
You split some atom, and you try to put
it. And it blows up the world.
Yeah, then you try to put it back together with the same amount of energy.
If what they're saying is true, 50-50, it would take that much energy to put the
same,
cell back
together. Yeah, the same amount. Now, you're telling me there's proof that things are put back together without the same amount of energy.
Not put back together. Things are created without all that need for all that energy.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Put back together means creating something again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, then they say, CERN says, we have lots of evidence that there is no antimatter in the universe. So where did it disappear? So at CERN, we're looking into this mystery.
It's like counting the number of angels on the head of a pin. Isn't it, in a way, Ion? This crazy talk among themselves is like counting the number of angels on the head of a pin. The old joke, right? For medieval scholarship.
And then they say we want to transform energy into mass to create antimatter. where accelerating particles jump to speed of light, and when they collide with a target, they hit the nucleus, they're transformed into matter and antimatter 50-50. So if they think they're going to get a 50-50, and that's not the case,
then their greatest fears will be realized, and they will indeed create a black hole, and they will indeed be sucked into it.
No,
yeah.
Wait. They have these fears if they do not successfully...
No, if they think it's going to be a 50-50 deal...
And they find out it doesn't...
They'll find out in the midst of being blown apart.
Oh, wait, okay.
No, sucked up into the black.
Sucked up.
Okay, so they...
They'll prove there is dark matter.
Okay, now hold it. They're counting on it to be 50-50. Okay,
yes.
Carolyn?
If it's 50-50, they're screwed.
Yeah, they don't know that yet. They're hoping it's 50-50.
They'll figure it out.
No, they're hoping it's 50-50.
Not hoping. They think that is the rationale.
Yeah, and they will find out that if it had been 50-50, they would have been sucked into a black hole.
Right,
Ayan? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I started reading that part or hearing that part, I said, oh, man, so that means that the antimatter jumped immediately into the parallel world to kind of protect the matter, antimatter blowing up. Is that close?
Yes, there is. And if you would like this from a version that would be even easier, it takes 15 minutes of your life.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cartoon. The name is Squid Billies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the name of that particular episode, his name is God's Bro.
God's Bro. Okay.
Yeah, I was looking for it last week.
Brother.
I couldn't find it. Maybe it's too new, but I did watch a Squid Billy the other day. It's pretty outrageous.
It's just too much fun.
Yeah,
it was good.
But God's Bro breaks that down, does the collider, does the whole explanation perfectly, lays it out exactly how the human creators engage it, how they feel about it. They come and they ask the preacher about this.
No, don't do it anymore. We know. But I couldn't find it. Hopefully we'll find it. Maybe it's too new. The one I watched, the bad old little grumpy guy, he refused to do anything or something, and he blew everybody. He was a terrorist. He was going to blow up the Walmart or something. Okay, forget it. Anyways, it was pretty outrageous.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
You wouldn't let Ion go on, so
no,
you're
no,
not allowed
to. No, we want to see it on our own. Okay, so Carolyn's come up with an important idea that the physicists are not going to recognize what they're dealing with unless they understand that the antimatter didn't go into a void or cancel itself out. It went to another, it created sort of another world.
Well,
or slipped into another world?
Well, okay. That's
what Carolyn said, and you said, good.
Yeah, it's not slipped, it's moved.
Into a parallel world. Are they thinking that? That's what Carolyn got from it, her own idea. Is that what they're thinking?
Well, that's what they can't explain, that electrons in the structure of atoms disappear completely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they look again, and they got two electrons in the exact same space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's an anomaly. Two things can't hold the same place in the same time continuum.
Okay, you
so
got
they
it.
Think, well, my God, we've made a time machine because now we have electrons overlapping, and then they disappear both together. Where'd they go? We don't know.
Oh, and they
how
think
they come
it.
Back?
Stop. Do they say? Oh, that's a time machine? I'm just wondering why you threw that in. Oh, that's a time machine as we understand a time machine.
That's what they say.
That's what they say, right. Now, if they could change the rules of mind or whatever, open mind, all they'd have to do was hear from Ion that there are parallel worlds. If they believed it, then they'd understand it. Right, but they wouldn't. They have to prove it within their model, and you know they will not accept that it goes to another world.
Well, but they're embracing that now. See, you got Steve saying that everything doesn't fall through the black.
Right. So up to this point, you know, recently they could not conceive there was another world, and they tried to figure out what antimatter was within their limited framework. Now
they recently they thought the world that they had was flat.
I know. That's
okay,
600
now
years
let me
ago.
Continue
so
on.
600 years ago, this flat thing. I mean, people got to remember
let
that.
Let me continue
the,
on.
The thing is, you're saying so they're now beginning to think, nah, I think Carolyn's right. It's slipping into another world, right? They're beginning to entertain that.
Science can't disprove it, so it's for gaining in validity.
Oh, they were trying yeah, validity. They were trying to disprove it for many years. So the idea was around that it went in. Carolyn's idea was around before, 60 years ago, but they tried to disprove it many times. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to Carolyn.
And then the interesting part is if you take all the antimatter produced at CERN in the past 10 years, so they're implying they produced it, they've only got 10 billionth of a gram.
Yeah,
ten billionth of a gram.
Did they make it the past 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they have been making it. Okay.
Sure.
Well, then
but
Dan
at
Brown.
At that rate, though.
What, yeah, I know it's very tiny. Where do they? What does it look like? Is it like in the Dan Brown movie, in the little bottle with this glistening thing in the middle? It, you know, I assume it isn't that. But where is it?
In a containment field.
Okay. That's not an ionic field.
No.
No, okay.
No, it's a containment field.
Right.
And
it was
then, okay.
Yes.
And then they ended with, and they seem to get the problem, that actually if at the beginning of the universe, matter and antimatter were 50-50, if the symmetry would have been perfect, we would not be sitting here.
Oh, they just realized that Ion was right, Carolyn?
Yeah.
They say, they're talking earlier in the show about it being 50-50, blah, 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 and at the end they say, well, it probably isn't.
Right.
No, it can't be.
It can't be.
Because we wouldn't be sitting here, is what they said, Carolyn?
Yeah.
Right.
Because do they mean we wouldn't be sitting here when we made that little billionth of a dust particle that they've already made? Or?
No. If it were 50-50 at the beginning of the Big Bang, matter and antimatter, if they stood up against one another, it would have exploded and not gone anywhere. It matter would not have been able to exist.
Why did they tell us in the middle of the show?
Dust.
What?
No dust would be spinning around for gravity to encapsulate on itself to make the mass of even the Earth, let alone the solar system.
Mm-hmm. Right, so count. Halfway through the show, they say it looks like there's 50-50. Then they cleverly cancel it later in the show.
Yeah, they had, 10 different people interviewed, so...
Maybe a different opinion.
Yeah.
So someone at the end said, there can't be 50-50, because we wouldn't be here. They didn't mean in Switzerland, they meant reality wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So that's about the end of it.
No, we're just beginning, Carol, because now we got to... That's what they say. Let's find out what Ian says is going on.
Well, he's been trying to tell you throughout.
Well, we had to find out what...
We can't have Ian's view until we have something to compare it to. The whole principle, the dangling participle. so we found out that... I mean, I'm just amazed at how these crazy realities start happening, and they got all this money since 1954 going into this thing. Who the heck set this idea up to do this thing in 54, Ion? Let's begin with who done it.
Yeah.
Mr. Saint Germain did it? Like, who set this thing going? The Nazi 418 group?
It must be costing like $10 million a day to run it.
I bet you Ion's going to say it started back in the 1890s, and it's just a front for a lot of other stuff that's going on. Would you agree with that statement, Ion? Partly.
Well, in dog years, you're closer to 1530.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. You mean we are, or it started back then, Carolyn? You answered.
It started.
Okay, good. Just want to know what Carolyn thinks is happening so we can get a standard here. So, okay, Ion, what got it going, well, in 1530? What do you mean by that?
Just that.
Well, that's before Shakespeare. That's Sir Thomas More, Henry VIII, period.
Yes, now you're getting somewhere.
Oh, Bob's expertise finally comes useful. Okay, so Yeah, okay, those guys. What the heck were they doing? What do you got?
Trying to control matter.
What's that got to do? Now, Carolyn, you're going to bed now, right?
Well, it's just 7:30, 8:00.
Yeah, what are you doing, Carolyn? Are you still engaged?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe the 15:30 thing is not what we want to go into. I'm just saying, who funded the beginning of it? I think it's 1954, they say in the documentary. What started this hadron experiment?
Well, no, not the hadron experiment.
That's no, not that sort of thing. The building, they started, CERN started in 1954. What did they start with? What were they imagining they were doing?
Just playing with the dynamics that they were embracing.
Who created it?
Those buddies who invented the internet.
Tim Berners-Lee, but that's 40 years later. He would have been a young man in 1954. So who set up, who funded, what committee? Was it Prince Philip? Was it Mr. Rothschild? Was it St. Germain? Was it some industrialist from I.G. Farben? Who organized the resources?
They're not from this world.
Ah-ha-ha! Oh, very good. So that's why Harry Evers, whatever his name is, who came up with the idea of many worlds theory, you might know his name, Hugh Harry Evans, he said by Lloyd Simcoe in Flash Forward, who's talking to the Olivia, he mentions the name of the guy. I had looked him up. He was a riff writer. I'm assuming it's a guy born here, riff writing over there. No, he's from over there. Now, this really makes it interesting. There's people from other worlds there at CERN.
Of course.
Who on this world interfaced with them and supported it? The Queen Mother?
Your IBM buddy.
Mr. Watson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, somebody from the future appeared to him, which set up the hedge funds, which led to this collapse, which was desired.
Absolutely.
Oh, and so CERN is part of the plot to create the collapse by creating the web. This is getting good, Carol.
Of the world as we know it.
Excellent. All right, so do you want to tell us a little bit more about the dynamics of who is the front man in this world?
Nope.
Maybe they don't need any front men. So those guys interviewed in that documentary, if they were higher-ups, they are parallel world travelers?
No. If they were higher-ups, they'd have never given an interview. They would have become innocuously in the background. They'd have been the bald-headed man in Fringe that showed up all over the place.
Right. Okay,
the observers, they would never be on the front line.
Right, and when you say higher up, I'm assuming, it may be a wrong assumption, that the higher ups are the actual parallel world guys who set this up. That's what we're talking about, right? Right? That's what you mean. Those guys would not be on camera.
Never.
The guys on camera, do they know the code higher ups? The creative,
of course not.
Of course. Okay. So this is really good. So then that do you think in Fringe Walter is kind of like in Bell or parallel world travelers in a way? They're going to get to something like that. They just don't remember. No, they wouldn't. They would remember it.
No, we don't want to go.
So just put on the record. I asked the question. Might be a good hint, but we will. We'll wait for it. Could be that situation. Okay. So. Though I'm imagining a parallel world traveler, here's my issue about it, would not forget where he came from. But maybe Walter... But maybe he could be damaged like Walter and not know it for a while somehow. You know what I mean? Somebody hurt him.
But everything will be okay if you just can remember the Alamo.
Right, and particularly the Alamo,
Go ahead.
That reminds me. There was something, I think in Session 33, where Ian Kemp had been saying something, and finally, that's why he's saying remember the Alamo. I can't remember right now, but there was something like that mm-hmm. clarified. So are you saying remember the Alamo, that in 100 sessions later we'll know what happened there that means something?
Mm-hmm.
1830. That's about 1830 the Chinese or St. Germain set up the deal. It was 1930s. That's interesting. I think the Saint Germain was in 1930s, as China, Federal Reserve notes. But I think Ian said something happened in 1830. Oh, yeah, the land grants. the land grant start in 1830,
yes.
Right. And so
that's when the eyes of Texas are upon you.
Right, that was the decade with the fights with Texas and the Alamo. Mary?
Well, it was a defining moment to decide if Texas was going to secede from the Union or join it.
Yes, that's what I mean, yeah. So without, so that's why the meaning of Remember the Alamo. Okay, but back to, okay, well, maybe we can go into 1530. So Harold, did Henry VIII encounter Pella Roll people, and that's the beginning of the communication and interaction in this world with Pella Rolls, with those Pella Roll guys?
Well, you had the Tudors, and then you had that other crowd. Who was that other crowd, Bob? You speak of them.
The ones before the Tudors or after the Tudors?
They were family.
The Stuarts.
And?
Well, there was the Pendragons, but they were before, correct?
Pendragons, but that's not the one we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, who would be the other one?
Who was that, the one that Henry VIII had them all killed so they couldn't become on the throne? It would only be a Tudor world from there forward?
It wasn't the Stuarts. No, that's
no,
no, she's a daughter of him. Maybe the Yorks or something.
Bob.
Who did, well, the Catholics.
They kind of engage. It begins with a P.
The Puritans? No. So who did Henry have killed? His wives?
There
Pope.
Was another family.
No.
Bob. If you, Henry.
Plantagenets?
Yeah,
very
good.
Oh, they were the ones who were, they had power at some point, the Plantagenets.
They did.
They were the ones just before Henry VIII, I guess.
You got to go to Edward, and then you got to go, Carolyn worked all this out.
Yeah, no, we don't. So the Pendragons are before the Plantagenets and the Tudors, right?
Yes.
Okay, so then it splits into them, and they have a fight, Henry wins. Okay, so you were pointing out that that battle, you know, I have Henry V on my tiny note chart. That's interesting. And what was he, Henry V? Was he a Plantagenet?
He would have been.
I think he would. Okay, so they, something about a parallel world battle
in
happened?
In fact, it was his mother that brought that whole line in.
Henry V's mother brought in the Plantagenets.
Correct.
Right. But you're bringing this up because there was a battle. That was like a parallel...
You asked the question of where this, all this business...
Yeah, started. Yeah. Is this a parallel world clash that happened in the 1530 period?
Can you drop the clash part and then you're
out? Well, okay, transactions...
I don't know about transactions.
Well, exchange...
Maybe.
Engagement.
I'm glad you're
maybe
going,
they had bonds that they needed to get out of the system so that the Tudor household could take over. So they blew shit up until the bonds were destroyed, and then the Tudors could take the day.
Oh.
They could have a war on terrorists back then. They could have a war on terrorists now. But it wasn't trying to get the oil to flow through a pipe. It was trying to get the water to wash the stinky through the sewer.
Okay, so the... And that, you mean that literally, the pipe.
Well, we're being a little dogmatic.
Oh, okay, but you're saying that parallel worlds were involved in the fixing of the financial problem.
Fixing it.
Okay, because previous empires were built on parallel world transactions?
Carolyn told you all about it, how they had the jewels, the crown jewels, and then they lost them. And
oh, yeah, King John.
John and all that backwardness and the problems and the vicissitudes and the issues, and he had to shore up the sovereignty.
Right, but is this, you're implying it has parallel world involvement. Why are parallel worlds involved?
To maintain the monarchy.
Like the Queen Mother, she figured out parallel world traveling, refurbished the monarchy, rebuilt it by doing that, and you're saying that that kind of getting stuff from the parallel world happened, you know, hundreds of years before with other empires. And
certainly wouldn't Lord Cromwell would give you that.
And then remember, we were talking about, I guess it was Henry V, how could you lose the crown jewels?
Exactly.
It wasn't Henry V, it was King John.
Okay.
Yeah.
So losing them, it meant they...
Someone came in from another world and took them.
Yeah.
Or put them over there and couldn't get them back. The point, so you're saying, Ion, that all through, this would be an aspect of Rai, if Rai is defined as the principalities all through human history, there's always been a kingship that's involved with hijacking treasures from parallel worlds back and forth. That's
but
always
the treasures,
been.
Sometimes the treasures weren't treasures.
Yeah, they were extra means of travel.
Back in those days, they'd sell your children for a fifth of cinnamon. You know, I mean, they didn't even know what things were.
Yeah, but it sounds like certain charismatic objects you could build an empire on were acquired from parallel worlds. And some people knew that, and they'd travel back and forth and steal each other's stuff.
Yep, and we won't do it to you right now, but we have a tea tail bubbling. What if tea, the flowers of tea, the oolong varieties especially... What if that were introduced from another paradigm, meaning there were tea, but people didn't know they could boil it in hot water and make a steep drink out of it?
They didn't know it because it came from another world, or
no? They had it, but they didn't know it.
But then someone from
they
another
could world use it to make tea. But what if someone from another world says, oh my God, this is so fabulous, it's everywhere. Just take these little bitty teeny leaves off the tip's end and put them in this side, dry them, put them in a bag, or boil them in hot water, and you will make indeed tea.
Okay, so yeah, it would explain why a lot of knowledge breakthroughs happened, inventions happened. So we have this... Okay, there's a whole thing on Moses I've been getting in session 33, but I don't know. We won't do it now, but maybe later in the session. Moses was interacting with future terrestrials. Do we include them within the concept of parallel worlds?
Please. Well, we have... Yeah,
not necessarily. Have, not necessarily, right?
Correct. That's yeah. And if you see, very good, Bob. That's the best thing you've gotten. When we start hemming and hawing, that means the answer is yes. But if we can't say every single time without fail or exception, see, we get caught.
Right, and also you think I'm looking to have that confirmed if I go not necessarily. Okay, Bob doesn't need to have that confirmed that it's just that way. You know what
sure.
I mean? Yeah.
If you're developing a meme, you're okay with it. But once the meme is engaged, then damn it to hell, you want every bill of particular.
Right, and the point is the Moses did stuff that made the pyramids for other reasons than the pharaohs understood. They thought that the pharaohs thought it was for their burial. I'm just saying that's an example of this parallel world transaction thing that's always part of power. Would you agree with that?
Easy enough, yeah.
Yeah, and so the latest is CERN. Why do parallel worlds people? Okay, they wanted to create the internet. See, everybody talks about, you just mentioned the Illuminati about an hour ago. Everybody talks about the Illuminati as Rothschilds, Warburgs, or, you know, human people. They don't know the Illuminati as those that can go back and forth and actually maybe people who their main home is in parallel worlds, right? So the Illuminati, in that sense, created the internet. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of. So... Is there a reason? Okay, did we imply? We met back to Henry Tudor, and there was a battle, you implied. Was there a battle around CERN?
No.
So how do the parallel people, they can create anything they want. They come over here with all the gold certificates and whatever. They can just say, hey, we got this money, put it in the bank. The bank allows them to build it. It's that simple if you've got the goods, which you can if you come from a parallel world, correct?
Sure.
Isn't it interesting that Bill Deagle, he talks about higher dimensional aliens and reptiles fighting. That's an absurd solar concretization of what's going on with parallel world interaction.
Yes.
You know the peasants, the techno-peasants today, if they heard the parallel world guys create the CERN, there'd be a lot of protesting and paranoia about it, right? And they'd say, these are What? Did you agree?
Of course.
Yeah, see, that's the issue. Yeah. So, okay, good. So we understand that that's why it's kept secret, but it'd be over-dramatized by the immature. You know what I mean? If the facts came out that way.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so we've established where CERN came from, and they largely were... Is the internet project that they created more important than the antimatter project they're working on?
Depends on who you ask.
And the ones that I would ask, all of them, would be from the parallel world.
Right.
There's disagreement among them.
Of course.
Okay, good. So you have this situation. Does the parallel world people not understand antimatter as Ion is going to explain it to us? Well, the guys that were interviewed in the show, they didn't seem to get antimatter as Ion means it. And the parallel world guys, they probably get it at the level Ion means it. Because, yes, it involves parallel worlds, so that's, of course, they get it. Yeah. So, Calum, let's try to find out with your assistance, what does Ion say is antimatter, or what they are going to miss, or why they...
Well, ask the question.
What are the CERN guys missing, Ion?
There still is a lot of jockeying for position, believe it or not. I mean, they're always worried about who's going to leave what and what they had to tear up to figure it out and where Mr. Bell came from and all that shuffle. They've got to navigate it. You've got to navigate the process.
They're navigating past, present, future, and different people have different past traditions they come out of.
And future aspirations of enlightenment.
Right.
That screws their next experience. So after a little while, just as you said, time and time again, people get to where they don't believe in anything.
Right.
They just sort of blow it all off and let the Victrola wind down because they're tweeting and they didn't notice.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think that people get fed up. And at that point is the potential transformation to ascended man, because if you don't spiral back into despondency and know that it's good I've got to the position, I don't know what's going on, now I won't have any rules screwing me up, and now I'm open for more.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, Carolyn, you want to ask what Ion... What have you learned from the documentary, and what would Ion clarify about it? They think antimatter...
I think, you know, we've got it. Antimatter is in the parallel world. So now we just have to ask, when they create what they're going to create, will they blow this world up?
Or, no.
Okay. And what will they stop because they'll realize that the 50-50 will blow up, and will they start looking at parallel worlds?
Well, the only thing that it's supposed to do is nullify time. Mm-hmm. If it'll nullify time, the rest will catch itself up post haste.
And in terms of when you say the only thing it's supposed to do, according to whom?
Who are you asking?
Non-physical.
There you go.
Okay.
What happened there, Karen? You're asking, we establish, you're asking Ion.
And he says it's only supposed to nullify time. And I said, who is it supposed to happen to? And it's non-physical.
No, what does that mean?
Wants it to nullify time, or knows it's going to nullify time. That's all that's important.
Right. After that, if you can get that done, you can call it a day. That's the day you can go to the beach early, Bob.
Yeah, now that...
Stay late.
Yeah, because stay late. There'll be no time. But I don't... I got this... I'm wondering why the heck these idiots can get all that money, but now an aspect has been brought in. The Parallel World guys have other designs with this operation.
What money? I thought y'all got rid of money.
No, no, back then in 54. They were able to get this big operation. It's a huge thing now. How these guys, who did it? Well, Parallel World influence. And their point was to make the internet to crash the economy so we have no money, which parallels no time. You get it, Carol?
Hip hip hooray.
Yeah, no money, no time happened. The Bible should have said there'll be the end of time and the end of money.
So then
you
the
get
question
Carol? They
is...
didn't say, get
well,
the
they
joke.
Did.
Did they say
did.
The end of money? They said that?
Yes.
Good.
They said give to Caesar what's Caesar's.
Yeah, that's not the end. That's not the end. And then,
oh, yes, it is.
Give it all
the Roman,
to him.
The Roman money was all there was. And if you gave all the Roman money back to Rome, their money wouldn't have any value because they'd all be hooped up on themselves.
Ah,
and nobody would be trading with it. So it would become worthless, even though it had the edifice of Caesar engraved on it.
Right, so does it actually say give, render under Caesar what is Caesar? That means
give to Caesar what's Caesar's.
Yes, sign the $1 trillion checks over to the Caesar.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the Parallel World. So if they've got this concerted effort to make the internet and make no money, which makes no time, then there is a war going on between these two worlds.
Well, you just gotta break the chain of pain. That's all. It's all that's happening is people are settling into the place where you don't need any money, and so therefore you don't need a money check. So therefore you don't need, and they're coming to the place. Well, gosh, we've survived a long time without any money. How did we do that? We must be indeed marvelous creators.
Right now, the account says there must be a war. You know, one thing about this, you don't need money and you wait. Iron does say money will come into you, flows freely and easily. That means money.
If you allow it.
Yeah, that means money is still there.
And it's not money. You can say it that way just because people understand
yeah, yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But what we're actually saying is source, resources, source flows freely and easily to me.
Okay.
So you don't need money. You don't need money. You don't need money. But if source always flows freely and easily to you, all the resources that are required in an abundant fashion, you don't have to buy the whole wide world if they give it to you for free.
Right, so, okay, well, is Ian suggesting that we sort of not pay our rent?
No, don't go there. Let's just talk about, okay.
I know Ian would say that we have made a contract to pay rent, so of course we have to pay rent, right? Right, Ion?
If the parallel world is supposedly doing these things to us, are there people in this world that are doing things to the parallel world?
Yes.
And what are they doing?
The ascended ones are playing and engaging and drawing and making the people who own your house die and go into bankruptcy so they give it to you for free. And if the question now is if they did, would you accept the house for free? Nah, I ain't going to have no free house. I'm not going to live in a house I don't pay rent on or own. I'm not going to do that. Well, there you go.
Okay, but the count said, is there a group that's fighting with the parallel world guys?
Against.
Yeah.
Not against. It's not. The ascended ones don't get against anything. They
right, but I don't know why you're bringing the ascended ones. Count's imagining that there's people at CERN or outside of CERN.
Well, no, it's not CERN. She didn't ask that. She said, are there parallel world travelers here working in the other worlds? And we say yes, but it's not a fight.
All right.
Because if they're parallel travelers and they get it, they're not having position against much anything.
Right, but that's not...
They understand they can wait it out and work it out and watch it unfold and give a little nudge here and there and, oh, we need a little gold. Oh, Queen Mother, we need a little gold. Don't you worry, darling, not in my world. Ha, 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 ha. Zing, zing, zing. Go over to Balmore. We've got the basement full of it. What? There's no gold in there. Go look.
Okay.
Then there it is.
Okay, just... There's no gold in there, they say, and then they go look, and there is gold. I think that was your point. So, Carol, I thought you meant that there are people in CERN or around CERN who don't like their money being evaporated and are fighting them, not ascended masters.
No, I'm just talking in general.
You weren't meaning ascended masters. You weren't meaning ascended masters.
Earth parallel worlders, what are they doing over in the In
their hometown.
No, they live on the Earth. Are they going to their parallel world?
Yeah, they came from there.
And messing things up? No, they come from here.
No, they come from the other world.
It's my question.
Okay, well, I don't know where you're getting at. You talk about the word parallel. I brought up the topic, and the definition of parallel worlds, who created CERN, are from another world.
Not talking about CERN.
CERN's not in the conversation.
Well, that's not in Carol's, but in mine. Mine's going to be finished. I'm the one who brought up that part. Then we get to yours. The parallel worlders who started CERN, Ion, are they from a parallel world?
Yes.
Okay, now, Carol, what are you talking about?
People like you and me who live here, who do parallel world travel.
Everybody does that.
Are we going
to... No, they don't. No, they do not.
Okay, we do it, but don't remember it. Okay, go ahead, Carol.
And are parallel world people from here going to the other world and stirring things up?
Don't get that. You just said, are we... Just that you mentioned parallel world. Are we doing what?
It's as if it's us.
No.
Are there parallel...
Lay down the ABC.
Earth, parallel...
Us.
People on Earth who can travel to parallel worlds.
Like us.
Are they going to parallel worlds and messing things up like we think...
Parallel worlds are doing it to us.
Right. That's all I'm asking.
It's not messing up. It's just engaging.
Engaging.
It's not messing up.
Yeah, the ascended ones are doing things, nudging and winking and
watching, taking advantage of the opportunity. Why
would they take advantage of anything?
Why not?
Well, they're ascended. What do they need? What do they want?
As much as you need. Well, ask them. They'll tell you.
No. You tell us. What the heck do ascended masters? Why would they be involved with any of this? Are they trying to move it somewhere?
Oh, but that always in the process. It's the whole dynamic of creation, of moving forward, of mixing it up.
They have a stake in it.
Bringing it back, and this works good, and this does not. And I like this one, and I only want vanilla, no chocolate.
Right, I got that. There's an ongoing more. So what are they? Okay, Carolyn, you want to carry on?
No, I'm done.
Okay, so what are the people in CERN or those people that have different futures? Can we delineate what some of these factional biases are?
Well, the bias is that you've been running on a false premise called time, and if they can use that CERN to bring into a delight your delightful exception, not reality, exception, because you're fighting it tooth and nail. Yes, God damn it, there is time, and we know there's time, and there's got to be time, and again.
Yeah, that battle is what you're trying to...
Well, and they're not fighting that battle, you are.
Well, the ones resisting, what CERN is discovering.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the guy who visited Watson was a parallel world person, gave him the idea of the hedge funds. Did Watson know he was from a parallel world?
He knew it was something funny, but he didn't know exactly what.
It was something funny about the person, his vibration, you mean?
Well, just...
Or the idea.
Who died and made you so smart that you could figure this out in 2 seconds and everybody's been working on it forever?
He said, well, this is an interesting idea you've come up with, and it's a genius idea. I'm going to do it, but personally I'm puzzled about it, but I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to do it.
Because I'm going to make a lot of money.
Right?
That's right.
And
let's play with it and see. Worst case scenario is we just get a whole lot of resources. So, okay.
Yeah, so he was a bit funny about it because in the end, he did get duped. You know what I mean? He should have figured it all out. Nah, I ain't doing that. I'll wreck the system. You know what I mean? I'm assuming Watson would not have liked what happened in Wall Street last year. Oh, he would like it? Okay, because he profits from it in some way?
Why does it profit the man to gain the whole wide world and forfeit his soul?
Okay, well, the does he, you giggle, did he collaborate, in other words, did the parallel world who spoke to him give him ideas, tell him, hey, we'll wipe out money, or tell him where it would lead? He didn't do that, right?
No. If you watch the show, Friends,
yeah.
What would the observers say? Oh, we can't interfere.
Right, right.
That's too much. And you take with it what you can take out of it, and we can't mess up the your time space continuum. but if we got you to a place where you can realize there's no continuum, then guess what? We are now validated.
The guy who's
because we haven't breached
yeah.
Your knowing place.
Okay, it's interesting. The prime directive was that alien cultures could not influence the primitive ones they discovered, and the Evergreen said that's not true. The Boodians would help anybody if the people would listen.
Yeah. God bless them Boodians.
Yeah, as a metaphor for other civilizations that could offer us stuff, which then gets into our topic.
No,
we don't need to go there. We know that riff, but we're sticking on the topic here, is that the Evergreen said the Boodians...
We jumped to the Boodians and we're staying on
yeah,
topic.
Yeah.
We're amazed.
No, look, the point is that whatever you want to call future... those that can influence less knowledgeable cultures, the prime directive said they wouldn't dare. Evergreen said, no, that's wrong. They would dare. They would try to help. And this gets into an interesting point that in the mid-90s, some of them showed up to China and offered help, and China swallowed the bait, and now they're the head country, right?
Amazing that they set that up as a plan or a meme 1,000 years ago.
Okay. Okay, so the guys that came to China, we're calling them ET contract, but then we changed it to FT, future terrestrial. Were they future terrestrials? Or parallel worlders.
What's the difference?
Ah, we said there is a difference a little while ago. Remember?
Well, but I thought we got over time. So if you got to have a future, then now you're back into the timed element.
No. We have been using the term future terrestrial for months now.
I understand.
Yeah, and we talked about that today, Bob, that we'd have to drop anything to do with future, past, or whatever.
Right, so is Ion saying we now move to that level?
Yep.
Is that what Ion is saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what do we call those that came to China?
Nowers,
okay. So we're dropping the idea of parallel world interaction. No, there was parallel world. Included in the concept of nowers was our idea of future terrestrials and parallel worlders. We just don't use the term future.
Well, if CERN is successful, you won't be able to use future because they're going to nullify it.
Right. Now, that's what we didn't get into. How the heck is CERN nullifying time? Well, what experiment will they develop that will nullify time? Are they on the right track now?
Any matter.
Are they on the right track?
Sure.
That's because the guys leading it already know how to do it.
Well, and where did they get that idea?
Well, they did it. They have it in the parallel world. They're nowers, and they come from another aspect so that they know what they're trying to create here.
Well, then it would be. So apparently the issue is not that. Apparently the issue is how do you convince
the others around you to agree with
others
you.
To make a meme that allow it to be.
Right. So what is exciting about tonight's session, we bring in Moses, the tutors, 911, CERN, the internet.
Plantagenets.
All these factors of nowers influencing and interacting with non-nowers.
But don't forget Solomon.
Yeah, Solomon, all the issues we've talked about. Well, that's why you could say now we can drop the whole topic of future, past, and present time manipulation because we've moved into the nower level. And there's a lot of argument going on in the nowers world.
Okay.
So,
is there a question?
Lots of questions. I'm trying which one to use first. So when we saw, Carol and I saw that UFO, we have to review all the things that we thought were future terrestrials. And one of them was, we saw the UFO, they waved at us, that was us in the future. So that was not us in the future.
It was you now.
It was me now.
And if you understand that now and your now was the same now, then there is no future.
Right. And
we say right, but that's the answer to the question.
Right, so how come I'm here and they're there and we're part of
their... They're not. You were there at the same time.
Yeah, and they were there, but how come I was here and they were up there?
That's the anomaly that you'll...
I'll experience
understand.
At the end, you said I'd experience within a year, I'll see myself walk along somewhere. I'll bump into myself.
Yes, and you've been doing that, but you don't remember.
I've been doing it down in the walkway.
Yes.
I keep bumping it. I keep seeing myself, and I don't remember. Well, that...
Yeah. And I guess you're just going to defecate on yourself when you find that Venetian coin in your dryer.
Yes. We almost thought we had a pillow disappear this morning, but alas, it was...
Oh, my God, no, not a pillow issue.
Yeah, it just would have disappeared, and it definitely proven there was a pillow world, but it didn't. It was under the cover. So, okay, so here, I had a great day listening to session 33, and the basic pattern was that Ion had told me, you know, by session 133, that the Chinese interacted with some Nowers back in the mid-90s that gave them some technology that now makes everybody run around China's control or snapping the fingers. They're moving ahead of us, everybody else. So then I'm listening to this session, and number 33, and Ion says in passing that the Evergreens were right, that contact was made with future terrestrials. That's what was said back in session 33.
Right. It's not a bad word if you're still confined by time or confounded by time. So that's all right.
If we're not confounded by time, we can call a future terrestrial, but we mean Nowers. Some Nowers, Ion...
You no longer wonder who's going to crank the Victrola.
Right. And the Nowers, Ion said the Nowers were part of a little struggle going on in the space station, probably around the early 90s, mid-90s. And it suddenly occurred to me, listening to the tape today, oh yeah, that's when the Evergreens said that the Boodians, that was their term for the Nowers, would leave a device on the space station. So that was incredible. And I said back then in session 33, oh, so the Evergreens were vindicated. And Ion said yes. As much as Ion could say yes, because Ion's going to quibble with everything in a way, so especially if it's the Evergreens and the Boodians. But so then, so that was amazing to realize the Ion's thing has come and gone. The contact has been made. And then Ion brought up the Indian Angel Network, and I Googled it, and I found it was at best a bunch of entrepreneurs all over the world investing in different things. Do you think that was the Indian Angel Network that you were referring to?
What is the Indian? We don't know Indian Angel. It's just the Angel Network.
Yeah, but then we as we worked it out, we couldn't find Angel Network. We only found Oprah Winfrey. And then Carolyn came up with Indian Angel, or Ion suggested Indian Angel. It just came up. And we didn't pursue that too much in session 33, but I looked it up today.
You were asking, it wasn't about an Indian, it wasn't about an angel network. It's called an angel investor.
Is that what you were referring to?
Yes.
Oh, no, you mean the Indian Angel Network is... Yeah,
we don't know Indian Angel Network. We know an angel investor.
Right, but we were talking... Here's what we said in session 33. Angel Network, linked to NASA, referred to a chain of satellite communication devices. That was the indication of the Evergreen's prediction that some device was given by the Nowers to the space station people.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were trying to find Angel Network at NASA, didn't find anything. and it led to Indian Angel.
Not, it is not that. That is not that. It's the, it's an angel investor.
That's what you were referring to in session 33?
Yeah, yeah.
And they have something to do with the communication devices that Nowers gave the space station occupant?
They do, they do, they do.
So I should Google Angel Network? No,
well,
Angel Investor?
Angel Investor.
Now, I understand what angels are as investors. Is there something called corporately Angel Investors, or are you just saying
yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay, so we should try and Google that right now. Because we were saying Angel Network. Now you're telling us to try Angel Investors.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
if your chip body didn't recognize it, then you got to try something else.
They didn't recognize network other than... Well, that's what Oprah does. Her Angel Network is Oprah's thing.
That's why we didn't use network. We used investor.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I put in network. Sorry. You didn't use investor back then, but now you are. Which is interesting why you didn't use...
We didn't call it a network. We called it... It was an angel investor.
No, you didn't. I heard the reading. No word investor was said. It was Angel Network. We looked up Angel Network NASA. Now, you might have thought you said it, but it's not on the tape. Okay? So that's an angel investor. You know, angel investors... here's one a business angel definition... Angel investors, this will lead nowhere. Nah, nothing. Angel investors. So it just, you know, there's no company named Angel Investors, unless I should look forever and find it. What do you think? You encouraging me to keep looking?
It's a type of investor.
I know that. I know. We're looking.
It's not a company. It's
Ion is saying it's a
type of investor.
We know that. Ion's saying it's a company.
He isn't.
When did we say it was a company?
Well, why are you bringing up angel investors? That's a vague term.
We did, and you did.
I brought up Angel Network, you changed it to Angel Investor, and it's not Angel Investor in Session 33, it's Angel Network, a link to NASA, but now you're saying it's Angel Investor. So you, I'm not supposed to look up Angel Investor's company, you're just saying there's some Angel Investors going on.
Okay.
That's what you're saying. Angel, do you want me to pursue the Angel Investor? Don't say it's my choice. Do you, what are we, why did you bring up Angel? We're talking about the Chinese Nowers interaction. And the space station.
And apparently some angel investors got involved and put up the money to do something. That's all.
And in exchange for that, they got credit for finding and linking up the satellite feeds that they was found on the space station that made it all anatomically correct. The link to sync up the satellite feed.
That's the technology the Chinese got.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from some Nowers who first presented it on the space station.
Yes, and they didn't. They have an angel network. They're investors. And whether or not they incorporated themselves for you to come look at their sphincter of the, where their prostate attaches to their body or not, doesn't validate or vindicate their position of being this.
I know. So the angel, at that point in session 33, we're talking about devices. Ion says, Angel Network. And then we looked it up. I think Ion said, look it up. So we looked up and went on a rabbit hole, and it didn't get any worse. I did try to link it up today with the phrase Angel Network, came up with the Indian Angel Network, which were a bunch of people who invest in entrepreneurs. They were angels. Okay, so now we're back to here, and you're saying there are some angel investors. Are the angel investors Nowers?
Yes.
And they provided the tech... Some Nowers provided the technology and landed on the space station. Do you agree with that beginning point?
Yes.
As some kind of device. And then some...
That's what we said in 32.
33. So, yeah, you mentioned the device, and then you said Angel Network. So now we know what you mean by Angel Network, Angel Investors. The Nowers then provided money for this device to be used by China?
Provided the device, and they was in, done in exchange or turned, looked like, investing money. But they had to get their foot to be able to be linked to the gain of it. In order to translate, to give it the access to the technology to China.
Yeah, you're saying there had to be a dummy front of money exchange to explain where the device came from.
No, there had to be a dummy front. So when they found the device, they couldn't say, no, piss off, we'll go to hell. This was ours, we developed it, it showed up, we forgot we did it, and you go away. Well,
you mean they take it? Now, that just meant that those people saying that sentence you just said are saying that to someone who showed up with a device and say, no, that's not your device, that's mine. Is that what you meant by all of that?
That's what NASA would have said if the Angel Network had investors had not provided resources to vindicate its production.
Right.
That they were able to find.
There had to be explained. They needed they needed some kind of money backup to explain. They had to have some money independence from the government so the government couldn't take it from them. Is that what you mean? Something like that?
It's gray, but yeah.
Well, how come? Explain what you mean then.
We didn't mean anything.
You did. Come on. The angel investors, you see, when you say the angel investors exchange, you don't have to say who they exchanged with and who got what and which way it went.
They had to have a stake in it so when it was found, they could have the credit for it. Because if they didn't have a stake in the production of it, then it would not be theirs to control. Well, if it's not theirs to control, how could they possibly have then provided it to China? Through NASA.
Is that how it happened, through NASA? Yeah, because NASA is linked to the space station, right?
Correct.
I have this image of a person, a Naur, shows up at the space station, shows these guys a device. And then the Naur has a bunch of friends over on land who are ready to organize some money thing to cover the exchange. The Naur...
Other way around. The money was provided for the exploration of increasing the space station, and different countries participate in that. Russia participates.
Just like CERN. Different countries participate.
Just like CERN.
Yeah.
Then they come into the place where the technology was created.
Because these guys created the environment, financially created the environment for it to be created, right?
But not really. They didn't really have to do that. See, they already had it.
They pretended to have created it.
And brought it in and says that we created this, we spent.
When they brought it in, that's when somebody, I'm imagining, appears out of nowhere on the space station. That would freak out the astronauts there, but that's not what you mean, or is that what you mean?
Sort of like that.
Okay, sort of freaked them out.
It sort of shows up in something that was delivered to the space station.
Right, gotcha. Okay, so
that... Okay, and that was theirs.
That was whose? You know, who's there? They.
Who are we talking about? The Angel Network.
Yeah, that was theirs. They set it up to look like the factory invented it, and then
they did, and it was theirs. It was very clear that it was theirs. It was theirs. They provided it.
Ah, great.
It was their technology.
Made it. Their factories made it.
Or whatever you want to make up.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's fine. And therefore, then, that became the way to sync up and link up satellite communication side, which was then had to be given to China.
Why did it have to be given to China?
Because 2,600 years ago, China had the idea that there would be even cellular technology to be able to have that type of communication anyway.
Okay, just a second. We know a couple months ago, Ion told me that the Naurs showed up to the Chinese, and that was the first contact back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese
Before the 90s. We didn't say which 90s.
Oh, 1890s?
We didn't 15, say.
Yeah, so, I thought you meant the 90s. So we don't know when they showed up.
Mm-hmm.
They showed up some. But does the Chinese government know they showed up?
Don't confuse the government.
I know, that's what I mean. The Chinese government, did they know? Was it present them or present some other Chinese? Probably some others. The Chinese government's always losers in this situation.
Well, they keep disappearing and coming back up, disappearing and coming back up.
Who, the government? The government.
Yeah, they.
Okay, gotcha. So 1989 was the beginning of, the Tiananmen Square was the beginning of saying bye-bye to the Chinese government. Would you agree with that statement?
Are we engaging in a time discussion?
Yeah. Well, the events of Tiananmen Square, which, to my knowledge, was
wrong. Well, we don't have to agree with that. That's empirically referenced. And if you
Tiananmen Square, whenever it happened, was a sign to the Chinese government that the Chinese people were taking over.
Okay.
You agree with that?
They were coming back into their power.
Did they get it right away?
Well, it's been a process.
Yeah. They pretty much have it now. Okay. So,
well,
so. Okay, but if you say, you didn't say which 90s. So the, you did say kind of like 95, you know, but you now are saying maybe.
Then why don't you just take it as that, as 95?
Well, that's what I was working with. So in 95, the Chinese were given, were shown by
no,
the.
No. Now, which 95 are you speaking
1995.
No, no, no. Just 95. That's a good place.
Yeah, 2,600 years ago. Okay.
Time
well, what, where, you know, when the Nowers showed up to the Chinese, did the Chinese have computers?
Yes.
Computers like we had in the 90s. Our 90s. No, I better not say that. Like an Apple. They had an Apple and a PC. And then, those were also...
They had Macintoshes, and they had Fujis.
Yeah, so that's the environment of what I'm calling the 90s. Even though I'm not referring to time, I'm calling that the 90s, okay? In that
they
environment...
They had Golden Delicious.
Carol and I were in Toronto, okay, when this happened, right? Can we agree with that, that we were existing in Toronto?
Okay.
All right. No, do you agree with that? I'm not saying you have to, but... Is that the time when the Nowers showed up?
No.
Okay, what was happening at the... They had all these Macintosh, so it had to be within the latter part of the 20th century. I'm taking Macintosh and apples and Fujis.
Bob.
Oh, it's never any time, is your point.
No. You're confusing your chip body with your fruit tree body.
Okay, good. You mean that. See, you played on... You could have said Apple computers. I'm talking about computers.
We didn't say Apple computers.
I know, you just said Apple Macintosh.
You said those are all fruits. They're
yeah, you
computers.
Took it that way. I was referring to computers, and you know it was, but you're playing off it. Okay, when the Nowers showed up to the Chinese, did the Chinese possess Apple computers?
No.
Okay.
They had better computers.
What kind do they have?
Abacuses. They could calculate 1,000 times faster, and they didn't have to have a processor that had to be fed.
Right. So the computer. So the Nowers showed up 2,600 years ago or more, through the way back there, and that's why the Chinese knew what was happening. They've been in touch.
Well,
they've been favored by the ETs.
No, they have not been favored. No. I don't get crossways.
No, they were open to
it. They allowed it.
Yeah, they were allowed.
Just like you could have.
Yes, okay, so they allowed it, and they've been waiting for a huge span of time until we get to this point.
They haven't been waiting. They've been enjoying their journey.
Yes, because they knew they would, quote, win at the end.
Well, so should you.
So should I what? Know that, I'm
gonna... know that you're going to win in the end.
I gotcha, right. Okay, so the we're replacing the in 1995, but that's not what ION means. ION did agree in session 33, but ION has the right to erase what it said in the past because we know...
No, it's the context that you're asking. You're in a new place now, Bob.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. So the point was that this device... this device, the Chinese know it 2,600 years ago or something, you know. Okay, this device, satellite communication device.
Mm-hmm.
This is the angel investors created a lab, funded it, so it was theirs, and they presented it to the Chinese first?
Yes.
No, they presented it on the space station, but did they do the... They told the Chinese we're now going to go to the space station.
Correct.
Okay. And then they go and stage the space station presentation of it. And then some people said, that's ours. And then they couldn't claim it was theirs because it was proven the angels and the Chinese owned it.
Very good.
Yes. And so then did that give China some kind of advantage on our global satellite networks?
No.
What did it do for anybody?
It gave them the ability to mass produce the full spectrometer evaluation of your cellular phones themselves.
Hmm. You mean there's technologies we use today that would not have been made possible without this device, these
Correct.
Devices. I see. So, and how did that give China any advantage over George Bush and them?
Yeah, you'd think it would have cost. Cell phones, when they were being produced in the United States, cost thousands of dollars, and they were the size of suitcases.
Right.
Because Texas, everything's bigger, so you're getting hernias carrying your cell phone around. And then all of a sudden, this technology just immediately starts getting big, tiny, 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 tiny.
Right.
Down to the point where you don't even have to have a phone anymore. You can just do it with your mind. Click, ka-ching. And they were light years ahead of that whole process.
They being the Chinese?
Yes, yeah. They are who we're speaking of.
Yeah, yeah. Helped by the Nowers, working with the Nowers.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that it wasn't foreign. They didn't have anything to undo, or overcome. They were already well-versed in the process. And click, click, click. Now they can make a $10,000 phone for $50, and when you're through with it, throw it away.
Right. So is the recent Fort Hood incident connected to any of that factor?
No.
No, it's a separate thing. So I'm listening about the devices on this session and China, and I'm amazed that the Evergreen's predictions comes true that it happened in 95, like they said, and there's the contact, which leads to satellite devices, but I wasn't sure. We don't get into what was accomplished. Now I know what was accomplished. Now I know it wasn't the Evergreen's prediction. It was set up a long span ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when the Chinese have a picture of the hand speaking, supposedly 2,600 years ago, in their manuscripts or wherever it is, that is an effect of their contact with the Nowers. That painting was made possible due to contact with the Nowers.
And recorded on a skin.
Recorded on a skin. A skin of leather, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
well, that was before paper, Bob.
Right, right. I get you. So we were talking.
No, it wasn't leather. It was a steno pad. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, some kind of skin. Okay.
A spiral ring bound.
All right. So we're linking up images of chronological. So here, there's a lot in session 33. I learned that the agricultural revolution was sparked by Nowers, who visited Stonehenge, then Morocco and Nazca, South America, and Chinese, all these visitings. It was a general teaching of the germination of seeds. What we call the agricultural revolution, that's what Ian was referring to. That impact, that one-time event, Ian says, of the Nowers assisting the starving people. Right? That was. And they weren't all on the 33rd parallel.
Right, of course not.
Okay, good. Did that agricultural revolution help the primitives who were starving? Was there another time...
Did they starve?
No, they were helped.
Okay.
They learned how to use grains. They learned how to use grains. And that's what historians will call... do call the agricultural revolution. They don't point out that it was aided and abetted by the Nowers. Okay? I was asking Carolyn, wondering, that starving point that was abetted and aided by the Nowers, were there other times on Earth, other spans, where people developed seed germination knowledge on their own and didn't get to the starving position?
Yes.
Because since there's an eternity, everything's happened. All kinds of things happened, and Ian was just talking about this weird period where the humans got themselves in a rabbit hole, tangled up, and they couldn't feed themselves, so then the future terrestrials had to intervene, back in session 33 language, so that the future terrestrials could exist, because the humans may have died out.
Right.
Yeah. But
and that's a good enough reason for that participation.
Right. But now we don't call them from the future. They were Nowers.
Well, you can, Bob. You can spend the next million years figuring out time, or just let it be. and then...
Okay, if it wasn't, if future tense is the wrong term, then we'll use the word nowers. But the nowers were concerned about the condition of the physical...
Let's call them now terrestrials.
Now terrestrials, right. The now terrestrials were concerned about the condition of the primitive starving people, and they felt involved in that, that they might not serve, their now might have been canceled or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it might be fun. We've been kind of playing with it, just trying to get it to where it would flow smooth and to please you also. You could call them, instead of human beings, you could call them terrestrial beings.
Well, now terrestrial beings. Call who? The human... Yeah, human beings are terrestrial beings, and they're interacting with the now terrestrials.
Good.
Okay, so I'm trying to get the agricultural revolution, that contact with the nowers brought in. Are there other parts of all the big now that humans have experienced in eternity where that wasn't necessary? That nowing contact, the seed germination advice knowledge given to starving people.
Well, once they got it, then they had it. They didn't have to get it again.
Okay, but I was wondering if there was, I'm calling it, that's when agriculture and grain manufacture came in. Did there exist civilizations way before that that did not need, that understood grain stuff without getting themselves starving first? In other words, was there grains cultures in previous civilizations?
Yes.
Right, so that was a particular rabbit hole that humans got themselves into that need to be helped out of. They may have never had contact with societies that had grain preservation. If they did, they had forgotten it.
Very good.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, so then now we come to that. That was momentous, that thing. And we can't name a date on that. It just happened back there when everybody had access to source, right? Pretty good access to source.
Correct.
The next thing we come to is the amazing interaction of Moses with the now terrestrials to make the pyramids for another reason than the pharaohs. We never, unless it gets spelled out in the rest of Session 33, and I haven't heard it yet, what was Moses accomplished? Was he solving a problem that the now terrestrials had an investment in, like they had an investment in the germination thing?
We don't know exactly how to answer it, because either way we go, it's going to lead you down a wrong path. Redefine your question just
well, what
a
was
bit.
Moses doing? What did he think he was doing that he kept from the pharaohs, or the pharaohs could not see that he was doing? He was building the pyramids for what reason?
Because they asked him to, and so he capitalized on it. Because of him being the chief builder, he got to say where all the hiding places were and what the significance were. So he had a first-hand run at it. Wow, this is way cool. Let's play with this. We can get here from here. And it wasn't about having the money, but it sure came in handy. That's all people kind of know. So it's like, perfect. Boy, that was fun. Now what?
Yeah, now the pharaohs, you said they told him to. The pharaohs asked him to build the pyramids, correct?
Mm-hmm,
and they wanted to build for their wakes and their burial spots. Moses had contact with now terrestrials who gave him some other things to do with the pyramids. Right? I'm still trying to find out what he wanted to do, because we did talk about landing platforms and this and that, but that gets obscured or denied that that's what was going on. What the heck was Moses doing with the pyramids that the pharaohs weren't aware of? And I'm assuming he got guidance on it from the nows. Now terrestrials.
Yes.
What was he doing? What was he creating? He hid a few things. What is in the pyramids that Moses' agenda includes?
The caps that are missing from the pyramids that activated them as portals.
Okay, so it was portal traveling. So Moses became a portal traveler?
Not then, but yes.
Not then, but after he built the pyramid while he was still existing?
Yes, but yes.
And then could you look at it that he developed a portal, ability to travel portals. He then goes into the now terrestrial world. And then it becomes eternity. And then you see that he created the pyramid so he could do the portal traveling.
Right.
And that's how he set it up. He went back. He realized, oh, I went back, had myself found in the bulrushes, evolved into China, Egyptian culture, got appointed, and then I found out how to do portals. Now, did now terrestrials help him design the portals or know how to do it?
That's interesting. You got to twist it around a little bit because you're...
Okay, here's... Did not Moses do all this on his own? Because it's implied in Session 33 he was assisted by somebody.
He was. But he was only assisted as far as he would allow.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So that's appropriate. And then it got easier and easier and easier. And then down toward the end, he still didn't get it, but he got it enough to say, wait a second, every single time without failure exception, I'm good. And when you figure that out, then it's like, oh, okay, boy, what an ordeal you've had. No, it's no different than any other day. You know, I'm good.
Did Moses, did the Jews carry the portal knowledge that Moses developed that led to the Solomon's Temple being containing the portal knowledge?
No, not quite so much. No.
They were more focused on the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we go from Moses.
That's all there was.
Yeah, Moses pulled off this pyramid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any? What is the next dramatic point in history? The Tudor thing? The Tudor thing, or was there something at the time of Jesus? Well, Jesus was dramatic. That was important. You know what I mean? This secret area that the portal stuff, the capstones. Who got the capstones?
That's a secret.
Well, for now.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the course of Session 33, so now we see the drama with the importance of Moses. What is the next important event, other than Jesus, before you get to the Tudor battle? Because the Tudor guys are battling over portals, right? Portal knowledge, portal access.
And yes.
Is there a battle over portal access at CERN?
No.
But they're going to discover, the regular CERN physicists, not the higher ones in the food chain of CERN, they're going to discover the end of time. Then that opens the possibility of parallel worlds, and the overseers of CERN will be sitting there waiting for their little underlings to realize there are portals. Correct?
Yeah.
And
yes.
And they're there to what? Exploit that? To guide it? To
make it an easy transition.
Make it easy transition. So they're waiting for what CERN will discover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have Ion on the radio talking about this stuff, not totally, but hinting at it. Is that a parallel operation to the CERN overseers? Are we a parallel complementary action to them? Or are we on a bigger? We're on a bigger scale than them.
Should say a bigger scale.
Yeah, it includes them. We know about them, but we're working on a broader level, because all that stuff is irrelevant until you catalyze the spirit, the activate people.
Very good.
That's the more important agenda. Okay, so another issue came up is more and more as I get to understand what Ion is saying. Its basic philosophy or urging, wisdom and all that. I say, that's exactly what I believed. This whole thing about relax and allow, you could say, well, that's the way Bob lived.
Right.
And I was thinking, this is totally an extension of Bob's head and Bob's actions, Bob's philosophy. And maybe you could include Carolyn. And then I say, okay, if Ion was talking to Scott, the one who had a session, then Ion would express a total different philosophy because he'd be getting it all from Scott. It would be a philosophy of judgment. Remember that whole scenario? Scott's changed from that, but now. He's more open to Ion. But back then, that whole personality thing that Scott had, is that Ion would, if Ion showed up to JW, who was a friend of Scott, and then Scott had this philosophy that Ion would be an extension of, then Ion would have a whole different philosophy than it has now. I don't think so, but I'm sort of trying to point out that it's all just my philosophy that you're using, or it isn't. It is Ion's philosophy, and I resonate with it, because I can't imagine this, but maybe my point is Ion would express Scott's philosophy as he was a year ago.
Right.
That would happen. Yeah. That would happen if the...
Well, yeah. Close enough.
Close
how
enough.
How is your time going?
Well, I can hear you getting tired, but that's pretty good. We're getting to near the end. It's probably time. It is 9:28, which means we've been going for 3.5, well, at least 3 hours. Yeah, so it's time to end. But I would say that Ion completes my implicit way of living.
Of course.
Articulates it. Expresses aspects I didn't realize, though I lived it.
Exactly.
So Ion would agree, would not necessarily agree that if Ion showed up to Scott, that Ion would have totally Scott's philosophy and not what it says as a result of interacting with me. That's slightly true, and it's slightly true that Ion gets his philosophy from me, but also Ion would have the same philosophy regardless of me. Would you say
the words wouldn't change. The dynamic might change.
The dynamic.
The words wouldn't change, no.
Yeah, let's say if you showed up at George Reynolds, you wouldn't have had YouTubes and you wouldn't be on the radio, correct? That's what you mean. That's a different dynamic. And that's what George was apologizing for. He realized, if Ion showed up to George, it would be different than Bob's presenting it. And he seemed to check himself and say, oh, Bob's way is interesting. You know what I mean? He hadn't considered
right.
it. That's what we're talking about. I think that's what I'm getting at, how much you're an extension of me. It's the dynamic you're an extension of me and Carolyn.
Very good.
And the fact that we are working with you and we have Access Radio, that does speed up Ion's moving into the world, right? Now, maybe Ion doesn't care that it moves in the world, though, so...
Well, you care, but you can't be the driving force.
Right. Anyway, you pick the right people. You need to start on the fringe. We're the fringe, but we had access to media, and then that got it going. So we come... that was basically... So the Chinese have been sitting there with the ace up their sleeve of the Nowers contact for a long time. Now, other cultures did connect with Nower terrestrials, right?
Yes.
But they forgot it? It's like China held it close to its chest and banged it?
Well, they'd have the experience, and then 30 minutes later they'd forget, and then it was gone, and it didn't happen anymore.
That was other places.
Right.
China kept its memory.
Very good.
All right. Is that why the philosophy of Zen Buddhism and Taoism came out of China?
Yes.
Which is a pretty cool philosophy. They had that extra unique angle because they had access to the now terrestrials.
Uh-huh.
All right. Yes. Then we are complete.
Very wonderful.
Yeah, that was good.